If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball Hotline.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No. The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, God, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
Absolutely goddamn right.
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
Pluto's not a planet anymore?
That's what I heard.
I don't believe it. Where'd you get your source?
I heard on the news.
Planets don't just disappear.
We can still believe if we want to.
And now,
how about that Pluto?
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock, KOQ. You're listening to Rodney on the Rock right here. That was always been my very favorite Blondie song.
I don't think
In the Sun from Blondie, off the very first Blondie album.
We didn't play
and
that.
And to this day, Blondie never does that song live in concert. They used to.
Right.
They used to do that when they played the Starwood and the Whiskey a Go-Go and stuff. And I remember Jenny Lenz took these pictures of Blondie when she did that song, and Debbie Harry's dress flew up, and then Debbie was really mad when that picture was printed. But anyway, that's a song that they never do live for some odd reason. It's
right,
a great song. In the Sun, Blondie.
Right.
Here's a new song from the Polyphonic Spree. A new album out from Polyphonic Spree. The Polyphonic Spree.
Three tries in a row.
You know, his whole story about them not doing that song would be more interesting if he knew why they don't do the song live.
No, he does that all the time. And, oh, my God, I heard the other night when he was talking to that chick in England. He does that London Calling or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, where she talked for like 2 hours. And he was recalling one time when one band did a song, you know, in the mid-80s at a club. And you just go, well, how's that memory helping me at all?
Okay. Oh, is that interesting to me, the listener?
She didn't ever do that Blondie song in concert.
I don't know why.
I remember one time she did. And then he tells us the exact show that they actually performed that song. Yeah. What, are we going to go back and search for it?
He's a prize.
He is.
He's got a mind for detail, that's for sure.
He's good stuff, that Rodney.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love.
All right,
and
we got to.
He didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song, but Arthur Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway,
that
was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee.
Okay.
And that was a song that Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we got to sound like that. And it was. In fact, it was Arthur Lee
too much info.
That actually booked the Doors to open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey a Go-Go. And Arthur Lee brought the Doors to Elektra Records and got them signed.
Okay. Thank you.
What can I say? Maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey a Go-Go is. It's still there, but not the same. But I remember one time I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family and Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show, and we got a phone call from Arthur Lee.
Called
in, and we spoke to him, and Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on LSD.
Kind of.
And
it blew
Gillespie's mind, basically, because that was his idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H club.
Okay, not
and
every story.
Pigeons. I had these, like, classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee. He collected pigeons
okay, enough
as well.
About Arthur
he
Lee.
Raised them.
He loves Arthur
We talked
Lee.
About all these, like, really rare pigeons. They had these, like, they're called Russian fantail pigeons. They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons.
Okay.
And Arthur had those too. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds when I first came to Hollywood as a kid.
Sorry, I missed
that. So anyway, as Bobby Gillespie and Arthur Lee were talking and stuff, we somehow managed to get together with a band from Santa Barbara called Citrus Groove.
Rodney.
So Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove and recorded this song,
one of his songs,
Arthur Lee's songs from Love, Flash on You, and here it is, Rare.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
It occurs to me that many, if not most of the people who listen to our show, have no idea who Rodney Bingenheimer is, have never heard him, seen him, don't know anything about him.
So
we should mention he is a disc jockey here on K-Rock. That tape that you heard is not some guy from some far-out college station from 30 years ago. That's a guy who's on every Sunday night at midnight on this frequency.
Yeah.
In 2007, they let that guy on the air.
And he doesn't have that thing in your, you know, inside where you start telling a story and then you realize that the person you're talking to's eyes have glazed over and you go, okay, lost my audience. I'm going to just cut this short or move on.
Right.
Well, I respect that about him.
I'm sure you do.
That was a song intro.
Yes, it was.
It was a 20-minute song intro.
He talked about, you know, different places and different people that met,
pigeons,
what they talked about, and pigeons.
Sunflower seeds.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
That's awesome. Rodney rules. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that.
He does rule.
5:37, it is Wednesday, and it's the 12th of Slutember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
Today we are going to speak with a friend of ours who's running for president of the United States.
Wow.
Now, we don't know a lot of people personally who have run for the presidency.
I can think of one.
Not one. That's true. It's even better.
Okay. Now
but
we do.
We have one today.
All right.
And he
That's
doesn't,
exciting.
Doesn't live in California, but apparently he's going to run in the state. He's going to start. How's that going to work? He's going to
I don't know.
Base
I
his operation here?
I don't know how that works. I don't know that you have to be from any particular state in order to run. It seems like he could run from the state he lives in.
Sure.
But I'd be curious to find out how much planning and research he's done on this idea.
He says that God, Gerald Pauly, wants him to get on the presidential primary ballot in California and run.
Does God think he has a chance?
I don't know.
All right.
Doesn't it seem like if you've got God on your side, no pun intended, because that's what George W. Bush always says, he's got God on his side, it seems like you ought to be able to do anything. If God is really backing you, if you're his dude, it seems like you don't even have to campaign. It seems like you'll win.
Then who are we to stand in his way?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're saying.
I agree.
We're going to talk to him
today. Well, I know Kevin will vote for him. Kevin only votes for comedy votes.
I vote for comedy. It's how I soothe my tired soul. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about how fat is too fat. Got an email from one of our listeners named Tiffany, and she wanted to know, we were talking about Britney Spears yesterday and how she was fat. And just after 6, we're going to get into that conversation. Who's too fat? Who's too skinny? Because Bean and I both have a too skinny category.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of the chicks that are super hot are way too skinny.
Yeah,
I agree. And a lot of people have, they've heard the heat that Britney has taken, and this is what we'll talk about with Tiffany, our listener. And they don't understand, I don't think, that she's not fat for a regular walking around person. For a 25-year-old mother of two, she looks good.
She does.
She's just fat for the line of work that she's in and for the way she chooses to present herself, on stage in front of a television camera in a spangled bikini.
Yeah. Yeah, when you wear clothes that small, you better really, really have it going on.
You need to have
fat
eating,
girl's
right?
Fat.
Yes, she is.
And seen a gym lately.
Really, seriously. Well, let's see. We also have tickets to our K-Rock LA Invasion, which is this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. We have an interview with Angels and Airwaves that we did over the weekend.
Yeah.
Tom DeLonge talking about the new CD that's coming out in early November.
Okay.
We're trying to get a hold of the guy who has who did the Brow Down, who's requesting Psycho Mike to do Brow Down Live, I should say, in Glendale. We're trying so hard to make this happen. This guy's shaky as hell.
Yeah, he won't call us back?
I don't know. It's possible to get a hold of him.
When we do get in contact with him, he's like so reluctant to talk to us. Like,
Maybe it was just a joke.
No. 100%. Through an exchange of emails, he is 100%
okay,
serious.
Well, then we need to do it.
But he is so reluctant. It's weird.
Huh.
We need to do it. Also, in our Ask A series, we had Ask A...
Started with Ask a Mexican.
Mexican, thank you. And then we had Ask a Black.
Axe.
Axe-a-Black,
right?
And we had Ask a Gay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And today we're gonna continue that series. We have another one of the illuminating series that we do here on K-Rock.
That's great.
And we actually, I know it doesn't sound like it, but we actually don't try to make this turn around on the group and mock them. We actually ask real questions.
I've learned a lot.
Yeah. So, especially about the gays, you know?
I learned a lot about the blacks. I knew about the gays.
I didn't know, though, when we did Ask a Gay, I did not know that a lot of gay people do not have, I can't talk about it.
Sex. Yeah, you can say pitcher catcher.
Yeah,
right?
Are never the catcher.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's not part of their repertoire.
Because that, that's not good. So anyway, we'll continue.
Gays have a lot in common with wives, then.
They like that thing Bobby Slayton loves. You know what Bobby Slayton likes. That's all he really wants from his wife. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, that's bad enough, but at least it's not the other thing. Anyway, we're going to continue that series, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. KROQ at 5:49. Be nice if Dave the King of Mexico was here, but he's not.
What the hell?
Is he driving back from Las Vegas again like he wasn't on Monday?
I could not tell you. We're dialing him up.
Oh, this week, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's unreliable at best.
Mike mocked me yesterday for suggesting we're having more and more increasingly bad problems with employees showing up on time. And Dave is the front runner of that.
He is the leader.
Although Shaolin's coming up fast right behind him, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to catch him. She's doing her best. What are you doing? It's like Mike's over there pushing 500 buttons.
Hey, what's up? Dave, you reached my cell phone.
Oh, look at that. Oh, cell phones.
Does that mean he's...
Is he sleeping? It's off. I guess it means it's off. I would guess.
When you are finished recording,
stop talking
on,
so we can leave
for
a message.
Delivery options, press pound.
Hate that woman.
You know her?
Hey, Dave. It's 10 till 6, and Bean and I were thinking, I don't know, come in. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye. Alex says he's there. Try it again. Alex says he's there. Give it one more try.
Oh, did he just call her? Yeah. Is that what happened?
Maybe that's why. Maybe he was on the phone.
Ralph is on vacation. We're going to check the Showbiz Beat in a minute, including the announcement expected this morning of the host of the Oscars next year. So stand by as soon as we get a hold of Dave.
It could be Ryan Seacrest, you know, by the way.
Hello?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
How's it going?
You know, last night I left Vegas at 1:30 a.m.
No, that was Monday night.
What?
That was Monday night.
That was Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Oh crap!
Yeah, you were here yesterday. Well,
you sound good though.
Yeah, sure, you know.
What happened?
Don't know.
Okay,
you don't know.
Hey, look at that! It's that time.
I'd like people listening right now that have jobs to picture this scenario with any other business, where the employers call and say, "Hey, you're 20 minutes late. What happened?" And the employee says, "I don't know." I wonder how that flies in other businesses of people listening right now.
Well, you know, I know. Actually, I don't know. I just woke up and said, hey, no alarms went off. That's good.
Oh, it was probably the alarm's fault. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, those alarms, man, they're pretty persnickety.
I just get in here.
Had a better connection with the moon, by the way, than we have with
yeah,
Dave the King of Mexico.
Yeah, that's true.
I was trying to get my phone over the first time you called. It was making all these noises, and I almost had to regret it.
Oh, okay. Well, we left you a message, and it says, I don't know, how about coming in?
You know, King, Sunday is Mexican Independence Day. Are you partying a little early? Did you start the fiesta already?
No, sir.
Dave has a week or a full month, usually. It just depends on what he wants.
Sure.
So you coming on in, or are you taking another day off? What are you doing?
No, I'm actually almost there.
All right.
Did somebody order Mexican?
All right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
come on in, Dave. All right, bye now.
So Monday shows up at like 8. Yesterday he was here. Today, who knows what time.
Yeah.
That's our boy right there. All right, how about the Oscars, guys? Who do you want? Who's your first choice if you were picking? If they came to you, Kevin, you, Lisa, you, Mike,
hosts?
Said, guys, your choice. Who do you want for the Oscars this year?
Well, the first choice is always...
Billy Crystal has done it really well in the past. But I would say I like Chris Rock.
Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. All good choices.
Sarah Silverman.
Letterman.
Letterman, sure.
I like
He did
Letterman
it that one
a lot.
Time, but I don't think they'll ever invite him back, I'm sorry to say. Well, you guys are all talking about hosts from the last 10 years.
Yeah,
Billy Crystal's done it a bunch of times. Whoopi Goldberg has done it a couple of times.
No, she's horrible.
We didn't mention her.
No.
Steve Martin.
Steve-O. Yes.
Chris Rock did it in 2004. But the host from 2005 is back for next year. In February, Jon Stewart will be hosting the Academy Awards.
Excellent.
I like him.
And I couldn't be happier about it. I think that's a fantastic choice. February 24th on ABC, held at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, the 80th annual Oscar telecast. Jon Stewart is going to be your host. Good choice. Funny guy.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through?
Listen.
She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce.
Right.
She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
Now, that's the hottest clip on the internet right now, and the first thing I think most of us thought when we saw it is it's the guy's acting. I mean, it's obviously
a
goof, right?
Be fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his name is Chris Crocker. And apparently he has a series of videos that he's done on YouTube. This one seems to have caught fire. But the guy, he's a real guy, but it's, you know, it's fake what he's doing about Britney. But my bigger question, I mean, I assumed it was fake when I saw it because it seemed so far out it couldn't be real. But my bigger question was, and I still don't know because the name is Chris, man or woman in the video?
Looks like a very effeminate man.
Yes, that's what I think.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, it could be a very male woman. I don't know. It's
really tough to tell, by
the way.
Yeah,
it is.
One of those that's just tough. I'm running out of steam on Britney stories for this week, but I think it is worth mentioning that the overnight cable ratings show that the MTV Video Music Awards were up 23% over last year's numbers.
Wow.
Of course, at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, of course.
And once people realized how bad it was, they started bailing fast. But it's the first time they've had any kind of ratings increase in the last 4 years. Their website, MTV.com, had the most traffic they've ever had on the website the day after the MTV Video Music Awards.
Yeah, they were pushing a lot of people there for, you know, a lot of stuff that you didn't see on TV, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's probably why.
And I think that's kind of the direction that a lot of radio and television is going. Is hey, if you like what you're seeing here in small doses, go to the website and see more of it. I mean, it's almost turning into like a second TV channel for somebody like MTV.
Did you see?
Because if they're going to show 20 seconds of Dave Grohl, why not go to the website and see the whole 4 minutes?
Yeah. No kidding. Did you see the latest excuse by Britney? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
And maybe it's not by her, but it's on TMZ.com. And according to the Vegas Confidential, whatever that is it a newspaper? I don't know.
Don't know.
Anyway.
Don't know that one.
They say that Britney, just before she went on, was throwing a fit because she had to wear hair extensions by Jessica Simpson in her line. That's the latest.
Oh, please.
I mean,
I heard that she fired her hair person and did her hair herself, which is why it looked so horrible. And that maybe that's why. You know, maybe she had to find something that she could put in herself. You know, she's not a professional.
Yeah, I guess. But maybe she just was out of it and taking some sort of drug, allegedly, mm-hmm. and just was out of her mind. How about that?
And hungover. Well,
how about just saying that? Just say, hey, I was out late drinking. I blew it. Sure would have liked to get another chance.
Didn't
Boom.
Really practice much.
This is something different every day. Oh, she was angry because Sarah Silverman, ran her jokes by
and
her.
And you saw Sarah coming from the airport on TMZ yesterday.
She said, I never ran my jokes by anybody. I didn't do them until I was on stage. I mean, every single thing that comes out is some type of lame excuse about why she was horrible.
Right.
It is a bad idea for her to release this album in November. She needs, like we said yesterday, she needs to go away for about a year. Get clean, get healthy, come back. That's what she needs to do.
I agree.
But if she's going to be out there doing publicity, and you know she is for the new album, it's just going to continue. Well, so
I hope it does.
We're going to be seeing more YouTube videos from Chris Crocker.
What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her.
Okay, we're not writing anything.
She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more.
In Touch Weekly is reporting, although his family and friends have urged him to get to rehab, Owen Wilson, who, by the way, has had two previous stints in rehab, says he doesn't think he has a problem. Doesn't really think he has a problem.
Oh, no.
Instead, what he's doing, by the way, if you've forgotten, Owen Wilson was at Cedars-Sinai just, about 10 days ago after a failed suicide attempt. He has hired a $750 a day sober companion. That's his answer. Rather than go to rehab, he just hires a dude who's with him 24/7 to make sure that he doesn't stray. And in principle, it seems like that might work in the short term. It doesn't seem like that's going to teach you very many long-term coping and survival skills if you've really got a problem with drugs and alcohol. Mike, have you heard anything about this? You got a lot of experience around the addiction world.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty common for wealthier people.
But I was saying that I was thinking to myself, well, the problem with a guy like Owen Wilson and why he might be so much more in denial than other people is that he was pretty well functioning as an addict. I mean, his career seemed to be going well. People liked him.
No one
he wasn't
knew
getting
what was
DUIs
going on.
Or getting kicked out of clubs and things like that. So he would probably have a harder time admitting to himself that he has a serious problem compared to someone who's throwing away their life right in front of their eyes.
Jail time, right. Stuff like that.
But wouldn't you spend every minute of the day trying to give your sober pal the slip?
Yeah. I mean, clearly there's going to be like a chloroform rag and an acid tab in the guy's drink in a couple weeks. You know, it's only a matter of time.
If I'm Owen Wilson, I'm like, hey, sober guy, why don't you run out of the mailbox and check and see if the mail's come yet? You know, just to get him out of the house long enough to drink.
And I can hire a sober coach. She's hot.
Yes, she certainly is.
True. You know, you're a movie star. You got all the money in the world. Keep me sober, woman.
Exactly. Do whatever it takes, even if it takes distracting me by taking your top off.
If you remember correct, Tom Sizemore had a sober friend for a long time. So, I mean, look how well that worked out.
How'd that go?
You mean
California inmate Tom Sizemore? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Doesn't always work, I guess, unfortunately. Joe Simpson, Jessica Simpson's dad.
Creepy.
Apparently was very creepy. He was talking about the thing that was the creepiest to us is he was talking about Jessica Simpson's rack.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And how hot it was. And he's her father.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem good. Apparently he was in Vegas Sunday night and a security guard allegedly accidentally pushed Ashley into the wall. And Rush and Malloy report that he went crazy. He lost it. He tried to protect Ashley, making a throat-slitting gesture in the process. When somebody messes with my baby, then it's over!
Oh, jeez.
Dude.
So,
by the way, Joe Simpson. Is this just me, or is Ashley Simpson suddenly hotter than Jessica Simpson?
Yes, she is.
How did that happen? Plastic surgery?
Yeah, she doesn't look anything like she used to look.
You can't even recognize her anymore.
No, every time I come across her in a magazine, I go, "Oh, that's her."
Yeah, that's one case where it actually may have worked.
Yeah,
yeah.
So often you see people chasing that with plastic surgery and stuff, but they never get there, and it just turns out worse. And you go, "Oh, I wish they'd never done that."
And then they do it again. Yeah,
exactly.
Michael
Jackson. Hey, look at Courtney. You know.
Yeah.
And here's our final story for this hour. Dotmusic.com reports that Madonna showed up at a Block Party concert the other night in Britain. They're a terrific live band.
They're
and
good.
She made her way backstage to say hi to the guys after the concert. And if you believe this report, and I find it difficult to, they say the bodyguard did not recognize her, tried to stop her from going backstage, and ended up getting her in a headlock before they tossed her out of the dressing room. Madonna could be heard yelling outside, threatening the bodyguard, blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't it seem to you like she could kick his ass?
Anyone. I don't care who it is. She could kick his ass.
She's a tough mofo.
Who doesn't recognize Madonna, though?
I mean, that's one of the most popular people in the world.
Yeah, I cannot imagine.
And they're in Britain. They're not in some backwards country someplace.
Yes, exactly. But just the vision of a bodyguard having Madonna in a headlock makes me very happy.
He called all his friends. He's like, "You'll never believe what I did today. I told her I didn't recognize her, and I got her in a headlock. Just doing my job, man."
Today's celebrity birthdays, hottie Emmy Rossum, 21 years old today, from the Phantom of the Opera and other movies. She is, I'm expecting very, very good things and hopefully very nude things from her.
I don't know her.
You'll appreciate her very much.
All right.
One of the famous Chinese men in the world, Yao Ming, 27 years old today, from the O.C. Whatever happened to our pal who played Ryan on the O.C., Benjamin McKenzie? Where's he been?
Haven't seen
That's
him.
A good question.
The star of the O.C.,
yeah.
29 years old today. Ruben Studdard, also 29, former American Idol winner. Jason Statham from the Transporter movies.
Oh, that's right, Jet Li.
35 years old today. Paul Walker from the Fast and the Furious, 34. And the saddest celebrity birthday of all, I couldn't feel worse for little Jaden James. Yes, Britney Spears' youngest turns one today.
Oh, no.
And we can only hope that the rest of his life is not as bad as the first year has been. But the poor kid, just try to stay alive till two, Jaden. That's all we're asking. Just don't let mommy put you in the pool, all right?
Idiot. It's the Kevin Abicho. Pick up the papers that you have again. Walk over here. Thank you. Dear God, man.
No one's more retarded than you.
Yeah, me. I'm retarded.
I had it in my hand and you point again as if I'm not bringing it to you.
Oh, God. I hate Mike.
I hate it when Daddy and his boyfriend fight.
Is he my boyfriend?
That's Wait, about, you do fight like a couple has been together way too long.
We're breaking up. That's it. I'm out.
No, I'm breaking up with you.
You can't break up with me. I already broke up.
Damn it.
Kevin Abicho, 9 minutes after 6. We have a K-Rock listener on the line that has a question for us.
All right.
It's a good question. Tiffany's on the phone.
I think so.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Morning.
So your email, you want to know what's fat?
Well, you guys were talking about people who were, I think it was Britney Spears or something like that, and I agree. She didn't look great in her bikini at the VMAs.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. She looked worse than not great. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
She shouldn't have been wearing it.
Okay, good.
But not fat if you put her in, like, just a pair of jeans and a normal shirt.
I agree.
Totally agree with
that,
you.
That's why she should have performed that way.
I agree.
So when we say fat, especially when we're talking about Britney Spears, for example, this is that's a special situation where it is somebody who has made her living being smoking hot. That's really all she's known for. Her songs are just, you know, super pop.
Right.
And she lip syncs. She's not a great performer, but she's just been really hot throughout the years. Now, you know, you got to. That's really what she needs to be Britney Spears. So when she comes out on stage in those tiny little bra and panties, you know what? For her in that situation, fat.
And in the past, you guys have discussed women who look fine, who don't wear bikinis, but that, you know, if they're fat or like an actress or something like that, who doesn't dress skimpily at all and still they're fat and therefore somehow hideous. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, these
at what
guys
point
are
does somebody become hideous and when are they like fine? When they're size one or something like that? Is that fine?
No, there are a lot of celebrities that we think are too skinny.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Keira Knightley.
Yeah. Sure.
Too skinny.
But that doesn't take away from what Tiff is saying, which is that there are a lot of celebrities that we think are too fat, too.
Angelina Jolie, too skinny. Amy Winehouse,
Victoria
Paris Hilton.
Beckham.
Victoria Beckham. All could eat.
Yeah.
Eat, people. You don't need to be that skinny. It looks awful.
But Tiff, if we say Oprah's fat, I mean, there's no argument there, right? She's just a fat ass.
Yeah, but that doesn't say anything about her, personally. It doesn't make her
says she's a fat ass.
So.
I'm so fat.
We know.
She really is just fat, right?
Yeah, but at what point does that make somebody less desirable to date and stuff? I mean, she's a good person and has millions
about 200 pounds ago. You're asking me about Oprah? She passed that point of being dateable about 200 pounds ago.
I'm so fat.
Here's the problem.
Oprah's actually lost some weight. She doesn't look bad
anymore.
Yeah,
she loses and gains and loses and gains.
Old Oprah.
No. She, come on.
She does. She goes up and down.
Some people's, we'll take your calls to 1-800-520-1067. Some people have a fat personality. And Oprah's one of those.
Like that laugh?
Yeah, like that laugh.
It's a fat laugh.
She's not like she's, you know, like she's Santa Claus, for
right.
God's sakes. What the hell?
But I think Tiffany, K-Rock listener on the line, Tiffany, I think she's dead right in it's how you present yourself. It's how you dress. I mean, you know, Kelly Clarkson on the street looks okay. Put her up on stage.
Not anywhere near fat.
I agree.
But you put her up on stage in those outfits, and it is not flattering. It's not what we want to see in our entertainers.
You know what she is? She's a little flabby, and she dresses completely inappropriately
right.
for her body.
Poorly for her body, right.
Yeah.
So she highlights the fact that, so of course,
like she's got a little belly.
The spotlight's a little stronger on people like that because they're out there dancing and singing, and you go, wow, that's, wow.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think she's a little overweight, Tiffany?
Maybe for what she wears.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big.
That's all we're
that's
saying.
That's how we have to judge it,
that's
though,
a
right?
big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, until we see her naked, we can only judge her by what she wears.
We went out of our way to say Britney Spears is not fat. Just for Britney Spears in that environment, singing and dancing in those clothes, she was fat. Yes, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And it's also relative to someone's natural physique, like their makeup. I mean, some girls are better looking a little bit overweight. I mean, there's a chick on, I don't watch the show, but there's a chick on Grey's Anatomy, a Hispanic chick.
That's
like a bigger chick.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's way hot. And she's, if you put that same kind of proportion of weight on a different girl's frame, they would be fat and not attractive, but she wears it well. Shar Jackson, I think, is a girl who could be considered overweight, but she's very hot that way. She wouldn't look the same if she was skinny. A lot of girls, on the other hand, are just pure, like, soft flabbiness. You know
right,
what I'm
Jennifer
saying? They don't wear it well. I mean, a lot of it's just biological. Some people are meant to be a little heftier. Some people aren't.
Liv Tyler's a good example. She's never been fat, but she's kind of a big
she's a bigger
boned,
girl.
Big girl.
Yeah.
But she's always looked great.
She has, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Scarlett Johansson, by the way, is not in the way too skinny category.
Not at all.
But I find her super attractive.
Although, when you see him on film versus in person, she's probably pretty thin. actually.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I bet.
Tiffany, let me ask you this, and we are going to take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in on this or have a celebrity you want to talk about. But have you considered, Tiff, maybe a little more time, you know, losing weight, a little less time writing complaint letters? Have you thought about that, baby?
I have no problem with my body or how I look.
Tiffany, 2.5 bills.
No.
No.
5'1".
Her name's Tiffany.
Oh.
Tiffany doesn't sound fat. I was just teasing. She really doesn't. She doesn't
sound
fat.
She's got the fat girl attitude, though.
But because
she's
of Brittany.
She's got the girl attitude. It's not a fat girl.
Same
thing.
Same thing, Lisa. Come on. You're all the same.
You guys are so judgmental. Jesus.
Of course. And by the way, speaking as, you know, not attractive guys. So what are we going to do?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let me ask you about another one. Tiffany, I want to get your opinion on this because I'm about to give you a name of a woman who I think Kevin would agree with me on is one of the most beautiful celebrities in the world. However, did not look good at the VMAs. And I'm talking about Miss Alicia Keys.
She's
hot.
It depends on what you put her in. And
right, and what she was wearing when she performed made her thighs look like my stomach. Each.
She did look like she was on the Pittsburgh Steelers in that outfit that she performed in. I mean, she really is. And she could not be more beautiful.
She was a defensive lineman for the Steelers.
Right.
Not even a
not
linebacker.
A kicker. No. Right, exactly. I mean, she's a beautiful girl, but I mean, what do you say about her, Tiffany? I mean, is she fat? Is she just big? What's your verdict on her?
The thing is that I mean, you could say the same thing about, like, Serena Williams or something. I think a lot of that is, like, muscle, you know?
I agree.
Athletic. And I don't think there's a problem with somebody being bigger as long as it has to be sort of an in-shape bigger.
Yes, I think that's important.
Yeah,
in-shape is really important. So if you're out of shape, you can be fat, 20 pounds overweight. And if you're in shape, you know, you could probably carry it pretty well.
And Mike will tell you.
I also don't think that it should be a qualification for, like, if you're going to date somebody. Because, I mean, frankly, we're all going to get fat and ugly anyway.
Oh, there's no question about that. No question about
that. But, you know, Tiffany.
And soon.
There are women who like big bear kind of guys. And there are women who don't. So I don't think it's unfair that men have those same.
Thank you, Lisa.
Preferences.
There seems to be a.
Tiffany was starting to make me feel bad about myself. And Lisa came to the rescue.
There seems to be a huge amount of men, though, who kind of, like, weigh on that, like, she has to be tall and thin. And
but well, not for real. Not that's just on the show. It's not for real.
I don't think it's for real as much either. Although people like, you know, not to mention any names, but like, you know, super, super, super hypercritical.
Yes.
And you go, well, absolutely. Come on, don't be so ridiculous. You know, because especially those of us who have no place being that picky. You know, it doesn't seem like it makes sense. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Tiffany. If you can hold on.
Sure.
You have something to eat in the meantime. And and we'll come back. We have a bunch of calls at 1-800-520-106.
First, though, we're talking to Fat Tiffany.
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
Well, that's not good. Actually, Tiffany, a frequent K-Rock listener and contributor via the email. We always enjoy hearing from her. And she brought up an interesting point with all the talk in the news this week about Britney and whether she's fat or not. She wants to know, how fat is too fat? What's your definition of fat? And that's kind of what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Mark, who's calling out in Hemet. He's on line 2. Hey, Mark, good morning. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. What do you think?
Buenos dias, fiesta people.
Hello.
And to you as well.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you guys are just shallow. That's all it comes down to. But that's cool, you know?
That's highly possible.
It's funny to make fun of fat people.
That's highly possible. We also don't always mean it. When you hear somebody say fat people are immoral, of course nobody thinks that. It's just funny.
Well, I do. I think they
are. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to which line? Let's go to Nick in Whittier. Nick's got a good point. Nick, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa.
Hi, Nick.
What do you think?
You know, they talk about Britney Spears and she's coming on stage and, you know, saying she's fat. Well, that she sells sex. So it's not inappropriate for us to scrutinize her product.
So you're saying because she sells sex and that's what has sold her image and her CDs all this time, she should be judged on that scale.
Exactly. If she was selling singing, if she was just coming out there to sing, she could come out there in an evening gown or a freaking muumuu. And
you know, it's
a good point.
You're absolutely right. And Psycho Mike mentioned Jennifer Hudson, who is the Oscar-winning actress singer, who nobody ever says she's fat because she's not trying to be anything other than sell her talent. She doesn't ever go out there and try to play the sex card. She is what she is, and she's talented. And she doesn't get the fat comments. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Tiffany, you still with us?
I am.
All right.
I had never thought about the Britney Spears thing for a while. I was sitting there thinking, wow, we kind of judge her the way we would a prostitute or something, don't we?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Do.
Like that.
Because she kind of is. You know?
I mean, it's like
if you're a professional basketball player, your basketball skills are going to be judged differently than somebody who's just a regular dude in a pickup game. You don't expect the same thing because that's their profession. I mean, I think that's a really, really good point that he made.
Let's try Robbie, who is calling us from Placentia. Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
What do you think?
Hey, so, you know, I agree with you guys earlier when you were saying that some girls look good hot or some girls look good fat. Mm-hmm. And then
Well, we didn't say fat. Skinny. Some girls look good heavier.
Bigger.
Have a better frame.
That's
for
right.
it.
Yeah.
But one celebrity that came to mind to me that I think looked hot, skinny and looked hot, fat, is Anna Nicole.
Oh.
Some girls just have it. You know what I mean? For some reason, I just think she looked
really?
Hot, fat, and skinny.
I know.
There was a point that she got too fat to even be hot when she was just an embarrassment, though. I mean, you're right. Exactly what Lisa's talking about. She was a bigger girl, and she was able to carry that weight pretty well for a while.
In her guest spots, because that's how she got her
start.
Yeah,
when she
was
supermodel.
Like a big, beautiful model. Yeah.
When she was thin, she was never Paris Hilton thin. You know, she was a bigger girl anyway,
yeah,
and that
true.
Was fine when she was thin.
Thank you for the call on that. That's a good point. Hey, Tiffany, let me ask you this. What about somebody like Star Jones, who it doesn't matter whether she weighs 80 pounds or 800 pounds, she'll always be fat. What about her?
The weird thing, though, is that Star Jones looks worse thin
she does.
Than she did fat.
We
it's
agree.
Her face, so, isn't it? She looks so weird.
But wait a minute. There has to be some kind of middle ground, Tiffany. I mean, when she was on the red carpet, she had back fat coming through her dress. Remember?
That wasn't good either.
I mean, you can't say... I mean, she could have been more in shape when she was fat, and she would have just been a little bigger and fine. But she was fat.
She was obese.
She was. Definitely.
But she does look like an insect now.
Yes, she does. I would draw the line at obese.
Yeah.
Frankly.
For her?
For anybody. Dating. You're talking about
dating.
That's
yeah.
Tiffany's question. Obese is too big for
what
me.
What does obese mean, Psycho Mike? Is there a...
Is it like 20%
kind of medical...
I don't know if there's like a breakdown,
there
but
is,
I know
I think.
Doctors are the only ones who can classify clinical obesity. You
no,
know?
And Bean and I,
and yeah, of course, and you and Bean. I mean, you are certified and to do so.
Thank
but
you.
I mean, it's a condition where it's actually starting to threaten your life. That's obesity, right? I mean,
that's what I'm shooting for. That's my goal. I hope
that's
to end up
goal.
There.
Well, you're
let's end
there.
with Santiago. He's calling us from Anaheim, and he has. If there's a silver lining for the bigger girls, I think Santiago is the one to point it out to us.
Santiago, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry if I sound a little messed up right now. I'm just coming back from Morongo. But
nice. Did you win?
Come on, who wins at casinos?
Okay, go ahead.
But anyways, like my uncle is one of my favorite uncles. He's like his wife is pretty much she's heavy set.
Right.
But anyways, like that was his first girlfriend and everything, and he stuck with her, and like it's been the first girl he's ever had sex with, and he stuck with her. So I thought that was pretty legit. Even one of my best friends, Alia, the main girl that he says has given me good reviews about, have been, well, heavier set girls.
Some girls are chubby chasers, and some guys are chubby chasers. So
yeah, chubby chasers. That was the thing I was looking for.
Yeah, chubby chasers, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, I personally haven't ever gone for a chubby, I haven't gone for a chubby woman myself.
Right.
But... It's a consideration after getting all those good reviews from my uncle and my best friend. But
all right. So, Tiffany, there's still hope, babe. You know? There's chubby chasers out there. There are guys that are into that. So hold your chin up, both of them.
Oh.
Details on the White Stripes tour coming up in the Showbiz Beat in just a couple of minutes. If you have tickets, you might want to listen. Good times.
Okay.
Not all as well.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for a Wednesday morning. By the way, tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion coming up every hour this morning. We mentioned that. We should also remind you that the band Paramore is going to be in our studio and performing live for us on Friday, also Friday morning. The return of Joe Rogan. And we're going to have to put up some sort of a, I don't know, some sort of a chicken wire fence or something between Kevin and Joe so they don't kill each other in the studio this time. But he is coming back on Friday as well.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins just to let you know in case you didn't know, everyone's favorite TV cheerleader I'm sure that's Hayden Panettiere.
Of course.
Is on the front cover of this month's issue of FHM, the British version.
Ooh,
awesome.
Really?
So we got to track that down.
Yeah,
we do. Hey, guys. Jonathan from Buena Park here. Heard you guys briefly mention Talk Like a Pirate Day on your show this week, and I wanted to let you know that John Old Chumbucket Bauer and Mark Captain Slappy Summers, the pirate guys themselves who started the holiday, are going to be in Los Angeles on Talk Like a Pirate Day. They'll be at the Studio City Tattoos. There's a huge pirate party being planned, if you want to let your listeners know. And that is, by the way, next Wednesday, September 19th, I guess, is when Talk Like a Pirate Day is going to be. Anyway, that's the update. Keep up the awesome work, Jonathan. I know we have a lot of people every year. It seems like it's a snowball rolling downhill fast. Every year, more and more people earlier and earlier starting calling us and ask what's going on with Talk Like a Pirate Day. Well, it's good news. At this event, the actual pirate guys themselves will be there next Wednesday morning.
Dear Kevin, I just wanted to let you know that I found this randomly. Here's the link in case you're scared of clicking on it because it's just another porn site or spam site. It's actually Foo Fighters music video of Pretender being compared to one of Sesame Street's acts. Have you seen this?
I have not. I saw the email, did not click on the link.
The Pretender. So, you know, that's how that one goes. Mm-hmm. And then,
right.
And then you got this. Go back to the beginning of that, yeah. And then this is Sesame Street.
Hey, do you want to play a game now? Okay, here, I help. One of these things is not like the other things. One of these things just doesn't belong.
Come on, he stole from Cookie Monster. Do we have no standards?
Wow.
We're going to have to ask Dave about that this
weekend.
We're
going to sue the Cookie Monster.
Dave will, Dave
Cookie Monster's going to sue him. See?
Okay.
Foo Fighters are playing the show this weekend, and Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins are going to be on our show on Monday the 24th, too. So it's going down. Hey, party people, here's a TV update. Just want to let you know that Lisa May's epic performance on the TV show Reba is on today on the Lifetime television channel at 3:30. Viewing party, anyone? It's already scheduled on my TiVo. Ed from La Mirada. Lisa, a little residual check coming your way after this afternoon.
How about that?
11 cents coming my way.
Yesterday, we were talking about assistant producer Alex and how she's very, very afraid to call a boyfriend a boyfriend. That word just freaks her out. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'd call in, but my phone found its way into the pool at New York this weekend in Vegas, and it won't get replaced until today, so I thought I'd email. Give Alex a break. First, she lives in the South Bay, and I haven't had a crack at sleeping with her yet, so let her have her singledom. Alex, if you're there, let's meet up at North End. Tim from Redondo.
All right.
How did she miss Tim? That's some sort of an oversight.
It was. Yeah, that was an accident, Tim.
Trying to work her way through all of the South Beach. And my final email is not one that came as a result of anything on the show. This is a personal email that I'd like to read just so that I can gloat. And it comes from Greg Wheeler, who is the who is in charge of jury summons in the county, King County, Washington. Your postponement request has been processed, and you have been rescheduled for jury duty on Monday, January the 22nd. Please accept this email as confirmation, blah, 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 blah. You know, my stupid wife and my stupid vacation to stupid Italy that starts next week?
Yeah, which is
making me miss jury duty.
It's going to be the best vacation you've ever taken.
My entire life I've been waiting for jury duty. Finally comes up, and I finally get a summons, and I'm going to be out of town. So I had to postpone for reschedule. Now I've got to wait till January 22nd at 8 o'clock in the morning to show up to King County Courthouse. I can't wait that long.
What will you do?
What is it that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to sending a minority to jail. You know that.
All right, mark that. Okay.
I've got is that what you're going to send to the jury summons people? I've got 3 months of Christmas Eve waiting for Santa to come down the chimney, waiting for January 22nd. I just want to blow so fast past Thanksgiving and Christmas and get right to January 22nd. I'm so excited I can't stand it.
Yeah. Jury duty.
He's not even going to get on a jury. That's the funniest part. He's going to sit and wait in a room for a day, and then they're going to send him home.
I'm going to say whatever I have to say, do whatever I have to do to get on that jury. Whatever it is they want, I'll give them.
And I'm going to say whatever I have to say and do whatever I have to do to make sure you don't. That's why we're marking tape. All right, listen, dear Kevin and Bean, that song about Armenians was so damn funny. I have to have it. Is there a way I can download it or it can be sent to me? My girlfriend used to live in Highland Park and work at the Galleria with a bunch of Armenian girls. She will S a brick laughing when she hears that song. Please tell me there's some way I can get it. Thanks for any help you can give. Wes, listening on the web in Oceanside, California. Well, if you're listening on the web, you can go to the website, which is where you probably are getting the web anyway. Uh-huh. Go to the Kevin and Bean page video, and there's actually a video for the song, Brow Down.
Don't even try it. You know.
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette? Tell you where I'm coming from. Glendale!
Brow down.
Glendale's my town.
Brow down.
I love System of a Down.
Brow down.
Because because I'm Armenian, bro. Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe. Dracar cologne ingrained in my chromosome. Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone. Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up. Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up. Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes, looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet, a nice Armenian girl I can flirt with, covered in fur even when the bitch is shirtless. Check my breath, it smells something awful. I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel. Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh. I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly, and shave my back hair to keep it in check. My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck. So brow down, Armenian pride, I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side. Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange, gonna get a silk shirt within my price range. Marlboro cigarettes and cologne, gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones. That's right, bro. You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brown.
So okay, what could this about? Bro.
Well, Ralph's on vacation, but he will be back, we promise. In the meantime, we're filling in on the showbiz beat, and Kevin has late-breaking White Stripes news.
Yeah, this is sad, but if you're a White Stripes fan and you have tickets for the LA Forum September 19th, which is, what, a week from today?
That's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, canceled.
Really?
Dude.
Yeah. The White Stripes.
What's going on?
The White Stripes have canceled their U.S. tour.
The whole
tour? So not just this date, but including this date.
Wow.
Yeah. They canceled their whole tour. The press release is forthcoming. We were told unofficially it was due to, quote, medical reasons. So I don't
know.
That's
interesting.
Maybe that's like a throat thing. And a lot of times these guys, they sing like crazy and they get some kind of problem with their throat
but
and they have to rest
it. Tour?
That's what they said.
Wow.
I don't know how big the tour was, but
right.
They've,
that's true.
They've canceled the U.S. tour.
Might not be Jack either, by the way. Could be Meg's boobs are too big.
It could be, yeah.
she can't
carry them around.
Get the way of the drums.
Can't get them on a plane. Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows what it is?
She started drumming on them accidentally.
That's disappointing because they're one of the great live acts on the road today.
Really,
but we will definitely keep you posted here at K-Rock and if we get information about a reschedule. But right now, no show. Let's try to make this a Britney-free showbiz beat this hour. How about that?
Okay.
I will tell you, though, that the VMA ratings were up 23% over last year's lackluster numbers, and you can assume why that is without us saying it. But the Tommy Lee and Kid Rock fight, I don't think we've heard the last of. They didn't show any of that on camera, although there is some video up at TMZ.com. And the reason I bring it up today, besides Tommy Lee's very funny apology on his website, is that Pam Anderson is going to be on with Ellen DeGeneres today.
Oh, no kidding.
And depending on what day they tape that, and I think the Ellen show tapes them pretty close to when they air, it's very possible that it's going to be after, you know, we'll have taped
this
week.
So she can ask her about it.
So we can maybe find out from Pam, who was right in the middle of it. By all accounts, Pam was sitting on Tommy's lap. They were kissing a little bit. That's what upset Kid Rock. That's how the fight broke out. But if you want to find out more about that, Pam Anderson and her magician friend Hans Glock are going to be on the Ellen Show today.
Sounds like a joke, I know, but that's his name.
What is the deal with, I mean, why? How do you get Pam Anderson to be in your magic show in Las Vegas? And she apparently is in it like every night, right?
Cash.
She's his assistant.
I imagine big dough. I mean, that's the only thing you could think. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he was talking about a couple of theories that I had not heard about the Kid Rock Tommy Lee fight. And I found it very interesting. I thought you would, too.
There was a battle offstage, too. Battle of Pamela Anderson's ex-husbands. Kid Rock punched Tommy Lee in the jaw. It happened while Alicia Keys was on stage performing. Apparently, Tommy was saying that a U.S. troop presence in Iraq should be maintained until the security situation is stabilized to the point where meaningful political progress is possible. But Kid Rock felt that political reconciliation between the warring Sunni, Shiite, and Kurdish leaders is impossible because of the deep-rooted religious animosity. Yeah. And from there, actually, I think what happened was it started when Tommy Lee tripped Kid Rock with his penis. And
well, those are two options that we had not considered.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, we got to find out more about that. It's hard to imagine a book we want to read less than Rosie O'Donnell's new celebrity memoir.
It is called
Celebrity Detox. It's out next month, and review copies are starting to circulate. Apparently, one of the juicy tidbits is that she talks about the problems that she and Barbara Walters had together on The View. Here's the quote from Rosie O'Donnell. And Barbara, at some point, well, a person gets tired. It's inevitable. Barbara Walters is almost twice my age. At some point, it becomes necessary to step back. Everyone has to go. Going is part of the gig. By the way, how old you are doesn't have anything to do, in Rosie's case, for instance, with how bad she was.
Yeah, yes. How hateable she was.
I mean, I'd watch Barbara Walters 20 hours a day before I'd watch another hour of Rosie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jeez, what a bitch.
She goes on to add, I would be less than honest if I were to say that there's no trouble between Barbara and me. I mean, our differences are obvious. The book suggests, by the way, that jealousy was the problem. Rosie says that during commercial breaks on The View, audience members would sometimes shout out, I love you, Rosie. This is in Rosie's book, by the way. She's writing this.
Come on.
And Barbara would politely tell them in a schoolteacher tone, again, according to Rosie, it's impolite to say I love you to one person when there are four of us up here. So far, Barbara Walters does not have a comment on the book.
How many people believe that story?
Nope.
Zero.
Mandy Moore on a stripper pole.
Oh.
Really?
Mandy Moore plus stripper pole equals good.
Is this a movie? Or?
It's on VH1 tonight.
Oh.
She's on, I think, with Perez Hilton. Yeah, not sure what that show is, but
okay.
Mandy Moore, stripper pole. Just wanted to say those words together.
This is the new Perez show that I think is on VH1. By the way, K-Rock listeners emailing new details on the White Stripes cancellation, according to the Associated Press. Meg White is suffering from acute anxiety.
Oh, no.
And is unable to travel at this time. This is from a posting on the White Stripes official website. We hate to let people down and are very sorry.
Huh.
Acute anxiety because of her big boobs? I mean, it doesn't say.
There's no explanation.
Yeah. Anyway, obviously, we wish Meg the best. And one more story. I'm very excited this time of year as the new television shows start to trickle back. I mean, you know, having Curb Your Enthusiasm back, for instance, is great.
When is that?
It started last
Sunday night. Yeah. TMZ TV just debuted Monday night. And by the way, of all of the new syndicated shows, TMZ in its first outing on Monday night had the highest ratings of any of the new shows. But I wanted to mention some of the other ones that have started this week that you may not even have been aware are on the air.
Excellent.
For instance, Steve Wilkos has a talk show. Do you know who he is? You recognize that name?
Never heard of him.
Nope.
He is the bald bodyguard from the Jerry Springer show.
Of course I know him.
The guy, yeah, of course, yeah. The guy who used to run out and like break apart all the families that were trying to kill each other.
Sure.
So somebody watched Springer and said, there's got to be a spinoff with The Bodyguard. Apparently his show is on the air.
What
now.
Is it? Is it the same as Jerry? Or is it?
It doesn't say if it gets as crazy as Jerry's, but it is a talk show where they have guests and issues and
that's
stuff
a,
like that.
That's just a terrible idea.
Well, maybe he's got skills we haven't seen just with him busting up people, skinheads and Klansmen.
Could be.
Merv Griffin's Crosswords, which was the show that the late entertainment icon was working on almost right up until the time he died. That debuted in syndication this week. I have not seen that. I can't imagine. I mean, I guess Wheel of Fortune is really, basically like a crossword show. It's in that vein.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's one of the new syndicated shows. Judge David Young has a new show.
Oh, good. That Judge David's been doing some good work.
I don't know if you have seen how many of these legal shows are on the air, but there's about a dozen of them.
There are. They're all Judge something or another.
Yeah, there's a Judge Judy, of course, and there's the People's Court. Those are probably the two biggest. But then there's another 10 after that, and this is a new one called Judge David Young. And a half-hour game show I know nothing about called Temptation is another new one that has debuted this week. So
yeah, I don't think we need to see any of those.
No.
We are finally getting back into the debut of new TV shows, though, and I am excited about that. Today's celebrity birthdays, and there's a lot of them, too. Yao Ming, does he still play for the Rockets? He used to be with the Rockets. Who's he with now?
Yes. I think so.
Still the Rockets? Yeah. 27 years old today from the OC, Benjamin McKenzie. He was the star of that show. He was Ryan. He is 29 today. Former American Idol winner Ruben Studdard, 29. And in the how fat is too fat department, I think Ruben is who we're talking about. Joey Pants from The Sopranos lost his head on that show. Joey Pantoliano is 56 years old today. Actress Amy Rossum.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, have you looked her up yet since last hour? Do yourself a favor there.
All right.
Actor Jason Statham, who's 35 years old today.
Sorry,
Paul Walker.
It's right, Jet Li. I kill my partner. I'm going to get you. Yeah, that's right.
Did you guys see that movie, by the way? War?
I did not.
Do you mind if I give... Should I give away, like, the huge surprise ending?
I'm sure that's what everybody who hasn't seen it hopes to hear, yeah.
I won't then. I'll tell you off the air. Sorry.
Paul Walker from The Fast and the Furious is 34. Jaden James, Britney Spears' youngest, is 1 year old today. And if that kid could run, I would urge him to do that. And remind us sometime to tell you about one of the greatest Breakfast With shows we ever did on the Kevin and Bean Show, because the star of that show, Ben Folds of the Ben Folds 5, turns 41. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. I think when Gerald Pauly becomes president, Kevin, I'm going to ask if I can be Secretary of State because I enjoy traveling. Have you picked out your role in the new administration yet?
I think I'd like to be the vice president so I could shoot people in the face. That would be, that would be my role.
As you know, the Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly is a very close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. We love him and his wife Linda to death, and they're on the phone with us right now from their home in North Dakota. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's so good to hear from you again. And I got to tell you, I get a little twinge of excitement every time I see an email on my computer from you guys. And I couldn't have been more surprised by the most recent one you sent, that God is asking you, Gerald, to run for the presidency.
Yes, he is. But there's one thing that God would like me to say before we get started. And
okay.
That is that Brittany is not fat. She is hot. And God doesn't want a lot of bulimic women trying to reach an impossible shape. And he wished people would understand that.
Okay, so you speak. You are in conversation with God on a daily basis.
Right.
And he wanted you to let everyone know that Brittany is not fat.
Right.
Okay.
He is really perturbed with these people that think that these women have to stab themselves to death to be extremely thin.
So are we.
That's a bad part of our culture.
We've been saying the same thing.
God actually determines which women are hot?
Well, no, but he
which ones are
doesn't
fat?
Think that, you know, Brittany is fat and ugly. She is definitely an attractive woman.
Which Britney Spears video would you say is God's favorite? Do you know?
I'm sorry. I have kind of lost track on that. We have been so busy lately, I don't even know what is new now.
Right, but God should.
Certainly. Yeah.
All right.
Reverend Speaker, I have to ask you this, and I have some obviously, we're very excited. Obviously, it goes without saying you have the support of the Kevin DeBean Show. If you're really running for president, we will vote for you, absolutely. But are you a little bit worried as a potential candidate to go out telling people in your speeches that you have conversations with God and that he speaks through you? It seems like, especially now after the current administration, some people feel a little bit too in bed with God, that maybe we need to get away from that a little bit.
That is one thing that God wanted to see. That is why he wanted to get me into some of the primaries and have us speak of our campaign, you know, for a true Middle East peace and things like that, and see how the people would react to a candidate that truly spoke for God rather than someone that just said, oh, I believe in God, but I do whatever the people want.
Well, Gerald, let me ask you this. A lot of people want peace in the Middle East, but it's a really, really complex situation.
Yes, and the Kingdom of God has a solution for
it. Okay, what is it?
A separate homeland for the Palestinians outside of Israel.
Great idea.
You know, and it's the only thing that would ever work. It's the only possible thing that would ever work. Nothing
but don't they claim that that land is holy for them as well, that they need to be in that exact square mile?
The Israelis would have no problem with, you know, Arabs of any nation coming and visiting and coming to the holy sites, as long as it is understood that the Israelis control those holy sites and no one else.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, that seems like it's not going to sit well with one of the sides.
But if it's coming from God, though, maybe it carries a little extra weight. I mean, all those sides, they respect God. They listen to the word of God. So maybe you're the right man for the job, Gerald.
Well, that's what God is hoping for. He's hoping we can find some volunteers. We have to register as Republicans. We've always been independent, and he was kind of hoping that maybe Arnold would invite us out to California and personally register us.
He was hoping that that would happen?
Yeah.
Can he talk to Arnold about that?
I told him the possibility of that is very, very slim, but God always has hopes.
Gerald, I don't mean to be I don't mean to be insensitive, but who are you to tell God that it's not possible?
Well, I have to tell him the realities
you
of
do.
The material world.
I see.
You
okay.
know,
now,
he is a being of that has absolute power where he rules, and it is still hard for him to understand that, you know, a lot of people on earth just don't pay attention anymore and would rather destroy themselves and do what's right.
Well, thank God you thank him you're there. So in your email, you say that God wants you to be the presidential on the presidential primary ballot in California as a Republican, and you don't think it's such a good deal, but he's insisting on it.
Right. You know, this, I don't think there'd ever be any possibility of us getting together a legitimate campaign. I mean, if it ever came together, we would go for it and do our very best, as we do with anything that God asks us to do.
And I think you know, Bean and I and Lisa would be volunteers numbers 1, 2, and 3.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, we appreciate
Certainly.
That.
Mr. Pauly, why California, though? Why can't you just
work
from...
Any place that there's a primary, we would like to get on the ballot. If we could get some volunteers in any state that has a primary to get us on the ballot, you know, God had us made up the commercials yesterday wore me out. I didn't get to bed until after midnight.
Wow. Do you say, God, go easy on me. I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
Right? I have I have the song about voting for the Pollies. Do you mind if I play that?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is the Pollies campaign commercial.
Produced by Spiritus Publications by the Pollies. All rights reserved. If you want your children to go out there to the stars, then vote for Pollies. They'll be going pretty far.
They'll be going pretty far.
Vote for Pollies. They'll be flying out past Mars.
Now, I know that sometimes John Lennon writes songs. I know that you've taken songs from Kurt Cobain. Who wrote that one?
I think that's John's. It's taken from a song that...
The Apostle John?
He had some work a while ago. He has done
John
so
Lennon?
Many. He did like a dozen songs for the last presidential campaign, and everybody was laughing about them in different states.
John
Lovitz? Them. And, you know, it's just, the man is incredible, the amount of work that he has done.
John Mayer? He certainly is. I think John Lennon is who we're talking about here, Kevin. And the Reverend Speaker not only talks to God, he has John Lennon writing campaign songs, so I don't know how it could miss. Let me ask you this, Linda, because I know you're still on the line. Have you given any thought, if your husband becomes the president, what kind of a first lady you'd like to be?
Well, the best one I can be.
Yeah.
All I can say.
Do you have an area?
You're doing his Jesus from the White House.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Do you have any kind of area of interest? For instance, First Lady Laura Bush, education is her thing. What would your thing be? What would your mission be as First Lady?
John Anton?
Wow, I haven't even had a chance to think about it yet.
I know, it's all happening so fast. There's so much going on with you guys.
But you'd have to come up with some of those answers because you're going to be asked.
Sure.
Yeah, and you got to think about who we're going to have for our administration. And
can I be certainly. Vice president?
Well, if you can get on the ballot.
Yes!
I was thinking of somebody like Laura Bush, though.
Oh, damn. All
right. You would want the current first lady to be your vice president in your administration?
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Yes, it would. That would be perfect.
Well, listen, we're just scratching the surface here, Reverend Speaker, but we're out of time, unfortunately. We're going to have to check back in with you again in a couple of weeks and find out how the campaign is going. But is there anything that we or the listeners can do to help you?
Spread the word.
Spread the word.
Okay. Spread the word.
Linda, give them the address to the website.
Yes.
voicesfromspirit.com/president.htm.
We tried to make it as simple as possible.
That's way simpler than your other one.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, we're working on it.
That's good work.
All right, you guys, have a fantastic day out there in North Dakota, and you got our support. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon, all right?
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye, the Pollies. Bye.
I am so in. I'm in the new administration, dude.
That's the best. You're going to be vice president, Kevin.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7
K-R-O. 106.7 K-Rock.
No, K-R-O-Q. Jed, we'll handle this part. Jed, hold on a sec. Hold on. The K-Rock LA Invasion is this Saturday. Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat Against Me, and Paramore. And our friend Jed the Fish, who works afternoons here at K-Rock, has joined us to help give away some tickets in a game we like to call Stump Jed.
Stump Jed the Fish. Can you stump? Can you stump? Can you stump?
Hello?
Can you stump Jed the Fish?
What if your name was Asshor?
Oh, no.
Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish.
What if your name was Asshor?
What happened with that?
What the?
That song blows.
That was just pretty bad. All right.
Well, listen, Jed, you've been working at K-Rock since 1954, 55, somewhere there, right?
Yeah.
So you know everything about all the bands that we play, and that's the idea behind this, is that listeners call, they ask you a question about one of the acts that's on the bill for this Saturday show. If they stump you, they go into a drawing to maybe win some tickets. How's that sound?
I'm certainly a savant when it comes to music, so
okay.
Fire away.
All right, let's start with Linda in Los Angeles. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
If you can stump Jed, you will go into the drawing for the tickets, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is a Dave Grohl question. Dave Grohl substitute as a drummer.
I starred in an all pilot for a sitcom with Abe Bogota and Freddie Prinze Sr. called Sunny Sunday.
Can you let her ask the question?
That was my answer.
Okay, but she hasn't even asked the question yet. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, Dave Grohl substitute as a drummer in an all-girl band.
What band was that?
Mark Almond's Hair Clip.
No.
Is that a band? All right, what's the answer, Linda?
L7.
L7.
L7, okay.
L7. How about that? Well, congratulations. You are in the drawing. We don't know if you've won the tickets yet, but you certainly are in the running for them. 1-800-520-1067. Stump Jed. Let's try Jesse in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Jess.
Hey, what's up, Camby?
Stump Jed.
All right, Jed. Other than Billy Corgan, who was the other original guitarist in Smash Pumpkins?
A Shetland pony with a Tesla coil. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Caracue.
Jesse, I take it that's not the right answer.
No.
All right, let's have it.
James Iha? All
right. That's what we were looking for. All right, thank you. Hang on.
He's not wrong.
No, it is James Iha. It is James Iha. That is correct.
I was there.
Oh, Jed. Robert and Hawthorne, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello, Robert.
Stump Jed.
Okay, Jed, name Kid Rock's first major single.
Pubic Flat Iron.
I would like to hear that, though.
All right, Robert, tell him what it was.
It was Ba with the Ba.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, why wouldn't you know that, Jed? You played that song every day, just like we did when it was out.
I was with Paul Oakenfolds and his dog, Mino. The original Lollapalooza, I think that's why. Curacue.
Jed, we're having trouble understanding you. Melissa in Bellflower. Good morning.
Morning. What is your nephew?
Stump Jed.
Okay, who's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins?
Who's the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins?
Okay, that's the easiest question that has ever been asked by anyone ever, Jed.
Jed?
Hold on here.
Jed, you've had him on your show. You've interviewed him. You've seen him in concert.
You can shine your shoes with used banana peels if you run out of wax or some type of shoe polish, Caracue.
Jed, the question was, who's the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins?
The atomic weight of hydrogen.
Is it the atomic weight of hydrogen, Melissa?
Awesome.
No. Okay. Thank you, okay. Billy Corgan. All right. Thank you. Right,
you wouldn't even have to have.
Come on. That was Jed. Right. I mean, seriously, Jed. Are you trying, Jed?
Or, I mean, you understand that they ask a question, you're supposed to come up with the answer to their question,
I'm
right?
I'm really impressed with new limousines nowadays. They make them from everything, including sport utility vehicles, not just large American sedans. Back in the '80s, I would take those big sedans to shows.
We have another question.
Fire away.
All right, Brad, what's your question?
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi
there. Lisa May.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, my question is, what former band was Slash in before Velvet Revolver?
The Balzinis.
Another super easy one. Is it the Balzinis?
I think he's looking for Guns N' Roses. Okay, all right. How about one more? Is there anything on the board here that Jed has a shot at? Because I hate to see him get completely blanked.
Well, let's try Dylan in Woodland Hills. This seems rather easy. Dylan, good morning.
Stirring me, Dylan.
You can't even see him. All right, Dylan, what's your question?
Or can I?
Where did the name Foo Fighter come from?
Where did the name Foo Fighter come from? Another easy one.
Now, every Foo Fighter fan knows the answer to this, Jed. Come on.
I believe it was from the first Lilith Fair. When I was with Tori Amos huffing ether and I flicked a booger on Tom Morello's trailer.
Really, no.
That's where the name Foo Fighter came from?
Balls.
No.
Is that correct, Dylan?
No, it's not.
It's not correct. Okay, you want to tell him?
Yes, it's from the supposedly used initial as a negative reference to Japanese fighter pilots.
No, that's not
that's
it at
not
all.
It,
it's the government.
I'm going to source you on that one.
It's the government pilots that were looking for UFOs. Those were Foo Fighters. Yeah, that's the correct answer.
That's the correct answer. But we'll give it to you anyway because Jed was wrong.
Yeah, he didn't know it anyway. So, all right. All right, Jed, you stand by. Lisa's going to do the grand prize drawing at everybody that qualified. Let's find out who gets the tickets.
The winner's Brad in Mission Viejo.
All right, Brad in Mission Viejo. Brad's question was, what band was Slash in before Velvet Revolver?
Yes,
Napalm Ether.
Congratulations, Brad. You're going to the K-Rock LA Invasion.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for playing Stump Jet.
Stump Jet the Fish. Can you stump? Can you stump? Can you stump?
Hello?
Can you stump Jet the Fish?
What if your name was asked?
Here's my advice to you, the K-Rock listener. If you're asked to come to Mr. Weatherby's office after your show, don't do it.
Yeah.
Good advice?
That's good advice,
Excellent advice.
I don't know how many listeners it applies to, but I'm just saying, if you're one of them.
If that ever happens.
If that ever happens to you, just don't do it.
It's never good.
We had to bend over again yesterday in the boss's office, and I don't know. It's not good. It's not going well. That's why we need to go out in a blaze of glory. That's why we're here to announce our new program today. And by the way, you know, when we started talking about how we have to plan our farewell show because it's only a matter of time before Kevin and me get the plug pulled, we got a lot of people emailing who say, guys, I'm with you, but if you're going to go out in a blaze of glory. There must be people you still haven't offended. You've got to offend them before you go. And I think that's what we're shooting for.
Well, I don't think either of us want unfinished business.
No.
Right? I mean,
true.
You right. really want to accomplish everything you can. So we did start a series not too long ago with Ask a Mexican. We had Gustavo Arellano in the studio, and he would answer your questions. Anybody had serious questions about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we followed that up with Ask a Black.
Uh-huh. Our friend Adele came in and took questions that listeners had about the African-American community, which I thought, by the way, not only entertaining but educational. Because there are questions we all have, and... You know, in these politically correct times, it's tough sometimes to find somebody you can ask those questions to in a safe forum. Because you know the blacks, they shoot you if you look at them wrong.
See, that's a joke, people. they don't need to write an email. Bean doesn't think that.
No.
I don't at all.
Just settle down.
Everyone knows it's a joke.
So we're going to continue the series, but we need some experts. So we're going to ask for you to either call or email us if you can be the host of Ask a Lesbian, for example.
We need a photo for Ask a Lesbian.
I think we should say...
We'll believe you if you're black, but if you claim you're a lesbian, we need a photo.
I also think we should go with the lipstick lesbians. If we have our choice, right?
Well,
I don't want Rosie O'Donnell in here, you know what I mean?
We need somebody who's well-versed in the lesbian lifestyle.
I know, but I don't want Rosie O'Donnell in here. That's my example. Or anyone like her.
We didn't have restrictions for the gays.
Of course not.
You freely admit that.
Wasn't that guy pretty good looking?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so
there's some dude.
There's some screening going on.
All right, you got lucky there.
And with some screaming going on, too, by the way.
Yeah, that too.
But for with Ask a Gay that we did last week, we just found a guy. Unfortunately, he was a friend of Alex's, so you know she knew he was well-versed. And a guy who could answer questions, who could field questions on any topic having to do with the homosexual lifestyle. And that's why he was the perfect expert. And I think we're looking for his counterpart, who's a lesbian.
Right. Ask a Muslim. I think we need somebody that can answer that in an intelligent you know, way that makes sense to everybody.
That would be great.
Without getting your feelings hurt and declaring a jihad on us all. Okay?
Okay.
Like they do, right. Another joke, people. You don't have to write emails. That's a joke. Why do we have to point out when we're joking?
Hold on a sec. If a Muslim comes in, my understanding is they have to either convert us to Islam or kill us. Those are the only two choices.
That's a good question to ask somebody. That's why we need to have an expert.
Okay.
That's why. Ask a Guatemalan, we're looking for.
We're not looking for Ask a Guatemalan.
Ask an American Indian.
Right? Oh, we do need an Indian. That's
so we need an American Indian that can't handle your fire water. Okay, another joke. Don't need to write anything. Ask a Brazilian supermodel. I'm pretty sure we need that one like on a weekly basis.
I agree with you on that one,
good.
By the way. Hey, you joke, but I have heard, and I'd love to ask a Native American if it's true, that there's some sort of genetic disposition that American Indians have that makes them less tolerant to alcohol than others. I have heard that. I don't know if that's true. It doesn't sound right to me, but those are the kinds of questions that we need experts for.
How, after I mentioned Brazilian supermodels, do you go back to American Indian or Muslim or whatever it was you were talking about there?
Just trying to
Brazilian
clarify.
Brazilian supermodels. I have questions for them. A lot
may
of questions.
May I see them?
Yes. Ask a sumo wrestler. We're looking for that. Are we? I don't know. Just whatever group you speak for. If you think you speak for a group that we haven't thought of, please, you know, drop us a line. Give us a call right now or email us. Either way.
What about Dan on line 3 in Sherman Oaks? And I know we don't have much time, but maybe this is one we could add to the list.
Excellent.
Because I think this is one we had not thought of. Hi, Dan. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Bean and Lisa May?
Hi, Dan.
Good. What do you think?
I think that you guys should have Ask a Homeless Person.
Ask a Homeless Person.
Yes, I do too.
That's an interesting idea. I'll tell you why. There was one of those guys that's begging at the off-ramp of the freeway over by my house.
We've had these questions.
And he was playing I think it was clarinet or something. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to him and I asked him, how much money do you make? And I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not.
Yeah,
but I figured out what you know how much he said he made per day or whatever. It came out to $70,000 a year. So I think he was exaggerating. I don't know.
Could he really be homeless?
I don't know. Maybe everyone that's begging isn't homeless. There's a lot of questions about that.
Wow.
I don't know. So that's a good idea.
Do they have phones, the homeless?
Yeah, sure. They've got cell phones, yeah.
Okay.
They got the new iPhone. They handed them out.
We've heard reports of guys who make that kind of money, and then they just pack up their cardboard box and drive home to their nice suburban home at the end of the day. And they're making tax-free money, so why not? All right, let's close with Jamie. He's on line – he or she is on line 8 in Northridge, or as Dave writes, Northride. Hey, Jamie, you're on the Kevin B. and Sean Kerouac. What's your suggestion?
Hey, guys. Hey, hi. Lisa May.
Hello.
What do you think?
What about Ask a Jew?
Ask a Jew.
Absolutely.
9:05 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. Thank you for calling. We actually have that one scheduled. Ask an Armenian. Ask a Mormon.
Oh,
ask
a 909er.
Ask a hooker. We need all of these.
Oh, ask a hooker.
So if you could speak to any of these and you want to be our expert, drop us a line, let us know, and we will feature you on an upcoming Kevin and Bean.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Brittany after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
He or she, I still can't decide after watching the video on YouTube, is the most popular clip on the internets right now. And in case you're wondering, by the way, Kevin Amin Show, KRQ-FM passing Los Angeles, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat, Ralph's on vacation. In case you're wondering, yeah, he's faking it. He doesn't really feel that passionately about Britney, but his name is Chris Crocker. I haven't had the chance yet to look. He, I guess, has other pieces of acting up on YouTube as well, but Chris Crocker is his name. We were hoping there really was a Britney fan out there who was that upset and that excited about what was going on with her. But if you haven't seen it, you owe it to yourself, if for no other reason, so you can tell me whether it's a dude or a chick.
Yeah, we can't figure it out. I think it's an effeminate dude, but I can't really...
That's what I think, too.
...tell.
Yeah.
White Stripes fans, sorry to have to tell you this, but they were going to play Los Angeles at the Forum next weekend with the Cold War Kids, and it's been canceled.
No!
And not just the L.A. Forum show, but the U.S. tour has been canceled by the White Stripes.
Wow.
We're being told it was due to, quote, medical reasons. And we found out last hour that it has something to do with Meg and her
anxiety issues.
Anxiety issues or something like that. But they canceled the whole U.S. tour. So we don't know exactly what that means for your tickets and whatnot.
She needs me to hold her. That's all she needs.
That'll help.
All she needs to make Meg feel better. I'm sorry to hear that because they are a tremendous live act. And I do love me some Meg, as you know. How about the Oscars, folks? I know, you know, the Emmys are this weekend. We are headlong into the awards season that run from the Emmys to the Oscars every year. February 24th is the date on ABC television from the Kodak Theater. It is alleged that an announcement will be made today by the Academy of Motion Pictures. Yes, please do.
The host of the Academy Awards.
What if your name was Asshor?
No.
Jed the Fish.
Jed. No. Not Jed the Fish, I'm sorry to say.
That would be an amazing show.
It would be pretty cool. By the way, Ellen DeGeneres did it last year, did a fantastic job with it.
Oh, yeah, I thought she was good.
I don't know whether she wasn't invited back or she just didn't have time with her, you know, busy schedule, but she will not be doing it this year. Instead, they are going back to the 2005 host for a repeat. Jon Stewart is going to be hosting the Oscars, apparently.
Which is great. I love him.
Great choice. Great choice, yeah. So anyway, that is new news for you this morning. And one more note, and I hope this isn't true, but In Touch Weekly is reporting that Owen Wilson, although his friends and family are encouraging him to go back to rehab where he has been twice before, even though he obviously has some issues right now, even though he obviously recently tried to commit suicide, he says no. He says he doesn't think he has a problem. Instead, what he's done, and we talked about this earlier today, and apparently this is not uncommon among rich people, he has hired himself what is known as a sober companion, a $750 a day sober companion. So rather than go into rehab, you just take your sober companion with you everywhere 24/7. They keep an eye on you, which I guess if it works, at least keeps you away from the junk. But it doesn't really help you mentally. It doesn't really help you inside to fight whatever it is that's causing you to want to drink or do drugs.
Is his sober companion Emmy Rossum?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, that's who I would pick.
That would be an excellent choice. And by the way, a bargain at $750 a day if you get Emmy Rossum hanging out with you 24/7. You know what I'm saying? Emmy, by the way, is 21 years old today. How about that? Actor Jason Statham, a favorite here of the Kevin and Bean Show in the movie War in Theaters Now, of course, got famous in the Transporter series. He is 35 years old today. Actor Paul Walker from The Fast and the Furious is 34. Benjamin McKenzie.
What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years.
Okay.
Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more.
He was Ryan on the OC. He's 29 years old today. Got an Oasis fan emailing to say, hey, what up with Liam Gallagher's birthday not on the list today? Liam, 35 years old today, and the saddest little one-year-old in the world, Britney Spears' youngest, Jaden James. If he could run, he would. He turns one. His big brother, by the way, turns two on Friday. So it's a very special week for Britney to not be with her kids. As both of them are celebrating a birthday. That's the K-Rock Showbiz.
Magic!
Tom DeLonge, everything's magic, right?
Everything's magic!
I don't even know what that means, but that is the new one from Angels and Airwaves. Everything's Magic is the name of the song. The new CD comes out on November the 6th. So, Kevin, what you're saying is, and you just remember this after your drunken weekend in Las Vegas, that you ran into Angels and Airwaves on Saturday night.
Not that I ran into them, that we went to the suite and did a full interview with the entire band. And
you just remember that?
Well, I was under the influence a bit over the weekend. So, but we do have an interview with them talking about mainly the new CD that's coming out. In early November. Mm-hmm. So we thought maybe you'd like to hear that since we did the interview anyway. There is a little bit of talk about what was going on this past weekend in Vegas. Not the MTV Video Music Awards, but what was going on at the Hard Rock, which is where they performed, Angels and Airwaves, and 50 Cent performed, and Kanye West performed, and Linkin Park performed. All on Saturday night at the Hard Rock.
Wow.
And it all kind of got started with the guys from Angels and Airwaves, and this is from Saturday when we were in their suite.
Hey, Tom, prima donna, get over here.
Do you know who I used to be?
I know who you used to be, yes. Who are you now?
I used to be a woman.
And the new CD, when's it come out?
We have a record coming out the first week of November, I believe. It's November 6th. It's called I Empire. It is the second half of the first record. They are meant to be a double record. And maybe the next one will be the third part of it. It'll be a trilogy. And then the fourth one comes out, and that'll be the fourth period of it.
So I Empire, of course, after the Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, right?
Well, people, you know what's funny? Is the cover of our record was painted by a guy named Drew Struzan. And Drew Struzan is the famous movie poster painter that did all the Star Wars movies, Indiana Jones, everything that you would have seen that has the big epic feel with the characters and stuff, and it says Empire on, so it very much is reminiscent of that George Lucas thing, but that's not what it was meant for, although at least we steal from great things.
And Everything Magic from Chris Angel, the Mind Freak, that's what you guys...
Yeah, we're huge fans, and basically we've tried to emulate our look after his.
Isn't he crazy? I really respect the fact that he's out there and he's trying to.
Yeah, that's
do
not
these
true, actually.
Things.
Last time we talked about Chris Angel, you like threw a full fit about how he was totally ridiculous, and I stuck.
You want to know the cutest thing?
Because I actually thought
this is cute.
Our stance on Chris Angel is giant douchebag.
Okay, and now I'm going to say the cutest thing is you couldn't read the facetious tone that I was having, and where I was going to end up was I don't really back the whole thing where he's doing abdominal exercises and like the splits and showing off his body and every single
watch
one.
The show.
I
he's
watched
never
it once,
done
pal.
Abs on the show ever. He's got sick abs. It's true.
I'm on the Kevin and Bean team.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I'm backing you guys.
We're actually staying right next to the Luxor, and they asked, "Do you guys want to interview Chris Angel?" We said, "No." What are you high?
No, you know,
but
I have
sabotage.
No, he is definitely. I'll tell you right now. He is definitely no Copperfield, right? Copperfield. Right. He's definitely no Siegfried.
He's
not what I'm trying to say.
He's Roy.
He's Roy, for sure.
Tell us about the event here at the Hard Rock. What are you guys doing? You're playing with 50 Cent, all kinds of weird stuff. What's going on?
Our manager, Rick, put together this giant event here. He wanted to do something cool before the VMAs, and he started out with Angels and Airwaves here, and then he brought in the top wakeboarders in the world. Then 50 Cent's people called, and they wanted to be on the thing in Linkin Park as well. Hard Rock got really into it, and I guess there's a bunch of shows that are now doing it all across the town. I want to say Rick started it all, and the coolest thing is at some point, I think everyone forgot that Angels was supposed to play, so we showed up, and the Hard Rock's like, why are you guys here? And
Who are you? Not really.
The truth is we walked in, and we had open arms, and they started kissing us on our necks slowly.
And they crowned you.
They crowned us kings of this room that we're in right here.
We're in the Hasselhoff suite.
Did you ever see his video where he's like riding a motorcycle or something, and he flies up, and then he's flying with geese and
it's the most amazing.
What is that?
It's a David Hasselhoff
video.
It's a
cover of Hooked on the Feeling.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's flying with all these different animals and shirts.
It's like insane. But it's like the worst graphics ever. Like, it makes the old Superman movies look like the newest, like, CGI tricks ever.
Now, tell us about the new CD. You said it was meant to be a part two of the first one. Was that true, or are you just blowing smoke out your ass?
No, that absolutely is true. We had a record called We Don't Need to Whisper. It came out about a year and a half or so ago, and we toured it very very, very short period of time. Jumped back in the studio because we felt like the whole – there's a very large, deep concept behind it. And it's not really a concept because at the time it was very much an autobiographical record. But we really wanted to try and be ambitious and do different things with our music and communicate it in different ways. And as I get serious for a second, we start working on a motion picture for it. And we're working on a bunch of really cool different technology ideas to try and launch this album and try and do things for music. I always say that, like, if some of the stuff we do works, it'll be really great for rock and roll. If it doesn't work, at least we tried, you know. And so we're really excited to come out with this new album, because I think over the next 12 months people will be able to watch Angels and Airwaves and see a lot of really ambitious risks and ideas and things that bands really haven't done in a really long time, and we're excited about it.
Is it like we've heard disco?
It's exactly what you've heard disco, exactly. Not even, doesn't even stray at all from it. I mean, if the Bee Gees came into my house, made love with my own father, and then brought in ABBA to watch, that's what it is. Are you going to come to the show tonight in like 1 hour?
Absolutely.
Are you going to be like that one of those weird industry dudes that stand there and just go, that's not that good? It's not that
good. Start a song, I'm going to go, heard it!
Have you played our new song on your show yet in the morning?
I don't think, have we?
Great. Okay, thank
Alex
you.
Is shaking obviously her head yes. So does that mean yes?
Of course we have.
Of course you have.
Of course.
I pay attention to our show.
I know.
Well, while the music is on, we're generally soaping each other up and, you know.
Lather. Got to give the lather. I've been in there for over the past 10 years off and on. I would show up, we would talk, and every single time covered in lather. It's weird.
We play it a lot, and it's the best thing I've ever heard.
Thank you so much. And honestly, I just wanted to let you know that we know.
It was real genuine. Yeah, I like sincere.
Can I pull that off?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
You can edit that other part where you said you didn't never heard it before earlier.
Can you edit all of them out and just have me?
We're going to be doing Ask a Jew in the 9 o'clock hour, the latest on our continuing series. And we were talking earlier about how we need to get more of these on the air because we all have questions about things that we're afraid of, things we don't understand. We got some tremendous suggestions from listeners. Ask a blind guy, I think, could be very entertaining. Ask a fat chick.
Sure.
Okay.
Ask a midget.
Oh, definitely.
Ask a midget.
Definitely.
We'd have to get some sort of special contraption so we could get up to the microphone. But ask an Iraqi, ask a Wigger. So many good suggestions.
Anyway,
yes.
We are going to try to schedule those for you in the weeks and months to come here on the Kevin DeBean Show, if we're allowed to continue broadcasting. But if you would like to be an expert on any topic in this vein, you are a minority or of a particular religion or something like that, and you think you could speak for the group and take questions, you can email us or call anytime during the show at 1-800-520-1067.
We don't exactly live in a time when it's easy just to walk up to somebody and ask that question, because everybody's dying to get their feelings hurt.
Yes.
So we're going to try and do it in a forum where everybody understands what's going on, that's not meant to be offensive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's educational.
I mean, I have a lot of questions for the mentally handicapped, for instance. Where do I get the opportunity to ask a retard? But maybe on this show, we can do it.
I'm not sure the word retard is...
Really? We're not going to do
accepted.
That?
Window licking.
All right.
That's what we're going
with.
I don't know if you guys are watching TMZ TV, but Harvey Levin is a current... He's on our show all the time. And he's got a new TV show based on TMZ.com. And yesterday, of course, was September 11th, the 6th anniversary. And they went out to Hollywood and asked people if they remembered what year it was. Now, I would have never thought of doing that because I would think everyone would know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have been way wrong.
Yeah.
You do hear September 11th all the time, but you don't always hear September 11th, 2001. Not everybody. And if you're 20 now and you were 14 then, I can understand how it would be a little bit blurry.
Some of these answers, though, are spectacular.
What year were the September 11th attacks?
September 11th what?
We took our cameras to the heartbeat of L.A., the Hollywood nightclubs where Maddox, Pax, Zahara, and Shiloh are like the Beatles. But the date 9/11/2001 is more elusive.
What year were the September 11th attacks?
Huh?
But just about everyone got these questions right.
Britney Spears' ex-husband.
Kevin Federline.
Who's Jessica Simpson's sister?
Ashley.
Who's Paris Hilton's sister?
Nikki Hilton.
Name one of Brad and Angelina's kids.
Zahara.
Maddox.
Shiloh.
What year were the September 11th attacks?
That's the tourist attack of September 11th is Iraq.
Okay, now, is that Miss Teen South Carolina?
That girl said the tourist attack, September 11th is Iraq.
This is the thing. Several of them went, what? Like they didn't hear? Because they clearly didn't know what he was talking about.
No, of course. Of course. That's what
knowing the year. They were confused about what he was talking about.
What are these strange words that are coming out of your mouth?
What the hell?
Wait, what do you mean, what year did something happen? I don't understand.
September, okay.
Tourist attack?
What year were the? What year was the?
I'm thinking back. Hold on. Oh, 05?
What year were the September 11th attacks?
9/11.
9/11.
Maybe we should start.
And that person was very excited about getting it. 9/11. Right.
We should start with asking him what year is it now and see if they know that.
That's probably
what. What year were the September 11th attacks?
2002. 2002, I think.
2002. What year were the September 11th attacks?
It depends who you're talking about.
It depends who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Was what year were the September 11th attacks?
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yes. Nice. That's brilliant.
Yes. Wow. That's some good reporting, TMZ. TMZ TV, again, is on at 6:30 on Fox Channel 11 here in Southern California.
Unclunk, link, and deaf guy. Make a sign. Grab your hand and make a sign. Unclunk, link, and deaf guy. Make a sign.
I don't know why. A couple of requests this morning, an email from people who have not heard that in too long, so they wanted us to play it again for them. So there you go.
Has it been long enough?
8:39 on the Kevin and Bean Show. One more look at the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman coming up in about 10 minutes. First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. You pick up the phone, give us a call on any topic. You say it, and we put it on the air.
Bean, I don't think you do yourself any favors by saying things like my sweet Zac Efron and I love High School Musical and all that crap. I mean, you really do beg for this.
Bean is so gay. He makes Ryan Seacrest look like a freaking lumberjack.
How dare you? Just because I want to make sweet love to Zac Efron does not make me in any way gay.
I'd like to say that that exactly makes you
in
gay.
In every way.
Yes, that is the very definition of gay right there.
Have you ever met to the Golden Girls? I lost a bet.
By the way, those of you that don't know the Golden Girls, it was a TV show that was on, and they were all like 380-year-old women.
Yes.
And none of them hot.
I had to try. To my surprise, Rue McClanahan is the one that got me there. It took me an hour, though.
Okay, first of all, Kevin, there were four of them.
Whatever.
And second of all, Estelle Getty is still, even 10 years
None
after the Golden Girls have gone off the air, one of the hottest women on the planet.
None of them.
How dare you?
Hello, I'm Stephen Hawking. Lisa May, you make me hot. I just want you to know I can do incredible things with my fingers.
Okay.
Right.
All right. It's good to know you didn't live in number, but all right. This next guy, clearly a fan of Dazed and Confused.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Got a joint? Be a lot cooler if you did. Hey, Lisa May. Don't be a sucker.
Now, he was funny.
Well done. Not everyone, I know this is hard to believe, but not everyone loves all of the music we play.
Really? 7:51 a.m.? Toadies, huh? Out of all the songs you guys have ever played, all the K-Rock bands, the thousands and thousands of songs.
Yeah?
You came up with Toadies, huh? That's what you guys suck.
Well, in all fairness, that's only one of the reasons we suck.
Yeah.
And by the way, even Kevin and Bean lose a bet sometimes, all right, dude?
We were talking yesterday to our assistant producer, Super Whore, about how she breaks out in a sweat when somebody uses the word boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Alex. I hear you're a Super Whore. One thing about you I hear is that your vagina never gets sore. You like to bone. You bone them all. And they never own you at all. Hey there, Alex.
Come on.
Is he trying to do a Hey There, Delilah
yes.
song?
Yes. I mean, doesn't it have to sound a little like the original song?
Dude, that's
rough. You're quite a super whore. Spread your legs and lay down on the floor. And then you beg for more. You're never sore. All you right. super whore.
I do like the idea, and I would have loved to have gotten some sort of follow-up after Alex saw her quote-unquote boyfriend yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
How did he feel hearing her on the radio go, yeah, this guy I'm with is really cool, but if I see someone hot that I want to bang this weekend, I want to be able to. I wonder what his reaction was to that conversation
Most
from yesterday's show.
Most guys love that.
Yeah, oh, they do. Yeah, big fans
that's
of that.
Awesome.
Yeah, 323-520-AFRO if you have a comment on anything on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, we had Serge Tankian in the studio in Las Vegas, and maybe it's just that I was drunk, but he seemed really nice.
He did.
He was very
he?
Nice. He was very cool, very personable, nice guy. You can't imagine it's the same soft-spoken young man in front of you when you hear him open up his mouth and sing. That's for
He's kind,
sure.
He's polite, soft-spoken, very cool.
What, you're saying not like all those other Armenians? Is that what you're saying? Your expectation was different?
I'm saying he spends a lot of time yelling at us in his music.
On his music, yes. He
so,
does, yeah.
Strange.
By the way, Ask an Armenian is on the list. Thank you. Ask a Racist we have coming up. Ask a Scientologist. We will definitely be doing soon on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for that suggestion. And I think the one I'm most looking forward to is Ask a Dane Cook Fan. I really am curious to hear how that one's going to go. So we have all of that just ahead. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph's on vacation. It's 8:52. Congratulations to Jacqueline Portalot from Brea, who just won her tickets for the K-Rock Alley Invasion. Your chance to win yours coming up between 9 and 10. Ready for some late-breaking news? Ready for something just in? Not heard anywhere? You know, we've been following with interest the fight that broke out of the MTV Video Music Awards between Tommy Lee and Kid Rock. We heard Tommy Lee's side of the story yesterday in a posting he made on his website where he talked about what, you know, his version of the events of what happened. I didn't do anything to promote Kid Rock and blah, 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 blah. We haven't heard anything from Kid Rock. But we will tomorrow in Kid Rock's first post-fight interview. Where will it be? On the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's a post-fight interview like he did it. Like he did it in Vegas. He had a big
exactly. Well, he did do it in Vegas.
A middleweight fighter.
So anyway, Kid Rock tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll hear what he has to say about the fight, and obviously also talk to him about his new album that's coming out in October and the great new song "So Hot" we're playing here on K-Rock. And one more note on the fight: Pam Anderson is the guest on the Ellen and Stryker show today. Excuse me, on the Ellen and Stryker show. Pam is going to be on, maybe giving her side of the story since she was there. She used to be married to both guys. And she's on with magician Hans Glock, who I guess is she's in his act in Vegas.
Yeah, he's a magician and she's like his assistant or something, full-time assistant.
Well, that would make you go, wouldn't it?
Really bizarre.
Don't be a sucker.
All right, let's talk about the White Stripes. Unfortunately, their U.S. tour has been canceled, including their Los Angeles date. Which was next week at the L.A. Forum. If you had tickets, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do with those yet, if they're going to reschedule or not. That was going to be with the Cold War Kids, and the White Stripes are saying unofficially that it was due to medical reasons. Apparently it was Meg having a problem with anxiety.
Wow.
So they had to cancel not only the Los Angeles date, but the entire U.S. tour.
I think I love her even more now than I did before, because
Why?
Now she's crazy.
Well, that doesn't make
and
you crazy.
It makes me hotter for her, though, is what I'm saying. But I'm very sad to hear that the tour has been canceled because obviously they're one of the most dynamic live acts on the road today. I mean, if you ever get a chance to see them, you oughta. They're tremendous. But
it's unbelievable
I hope she feels better.
It's unbelievable to see those two and then realize that those two are putting out all that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Doesn't make sense.
You can tell I want to try to get a couple of showbiz stories we've been too busy to hit today. You can tell Ralph isn't here because this would have been his lead item every single hour, and we're just barely mentioning it at the end of the show today. Disney is reportedly planning a sequel to its 1982 video game movie, Tron. Now, Tron, Psycho Mike, I know you saw it. I don't remember it, but isn't it considered one of the worst movies ever made?
No.
The original movie, Tron?
It was awesome.
Wasn't it just horrible?
It wasn't awesome.
Awesome to you or awesome?
Listen, listen to me. You watch it now, it seems campy because the special effects are ridiculous in comparison to what you see now. In 1982, that movie was groundbreaking. It was like 300. It was awesome.
Okay,
and it's all I know.
The Hollywood Reporter says the guy who co-wrote and directed the original movie is co-producing the new film, and the director is going to be Joe Kaczynski, who is also doing the remake of Logan's Run right now. He's going to be directing Logan's Run, and he's going to be directing Tron. Apparently, Tron was the first movie to use CGI instead of models and other optical effects. So, yeah, you're right. From a technical standpoint, it was groundbreaking at the time. But, all I remember about it is that the acting and the storyline and everything was just awful.
Lightning, why are you so excited?
T-R-O-N!
This was the guy. This was the guy who entered a computer game, right? He actually got himself digitized and went inside the game of the computers and then tried to, I don't know, win or get out.
What is that?
Those are the little speed bikes, dude. You guys don't know anything. First, they play like a wicked death game of Hi-Li, like a bastardized version of Hi-Li. And then they ride motorbikes into invisible walls. It's there's digitized tanks. It's everything you could ever want in a movie. Plus, it has Jeff Bridges. Hopefully, the new one will, too. I don't know in what capacity. But it was the greatest movie ever, and you're wrong.
There were a lot of people who really weren't Transformers fans but went to that movie this summer, and it was great. So that's not to say that Tron can't be good. It just seems like an unlikely choice maybe to have a sequel. That's all I'm suggesting.
It certainly does seem like the overstatement of the year is it was the best movie ever.
Oh, look who's talking.
Yeah. How dare you? You're going with Tron? I'll defend mine then.
Transformers,
I'm fine with
top
mine.
10.
That's fine with me.
All I'm saying is...
All right. Can you say that in the other room? All right, good.
A couple more items. James Gandolfini, who, let's face it, you know, it's a blessing and a curse to have been Tony Soprano, because that's going to be in his obit lead line when he dies, because it doesn't matter what else he goes on to do. He could win 5 Oscars. He'll still always be Tony Soprano. I think you guys are with me on that.
Sure. Yep.
But he's had some interesting career choices. You know, he's made some interesting choices with the films that he's done. He was in The Mexican with Brad Pitt, if you remember, as a gay assassin.
I do.
He was just on HBO a couple of weeks ago doing a sit-down interview with people who survived just terrible injuries in the Iraq War. That was one direction he went.
That was strange.
Now he's announced that he's agreed to star in a new HBO miniseries about the People's Temple of Guyana. You remember Jim Jones?
No. Drink
the Kool-Aid?
Jones, yeah.
Jonestown. He's going to be playing Jim Jones in a Jonestown.
That was the best cult ever. Right, Mike?
Jim Jones, by the way, was kind
black?
Of thin.
I thought
also,
he was black.
And he was
no, he's not black.
Well, he had that like Manuel Noriega hair. So like you could assume he was black because his hair was like in real tight curls.
Yeah, he was a white dude, though. Jim Jones was a white dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's also kind of thin. So that's...
Well, what does that have? Oh, you're saying James Gandolfini maybe... Doesn't look like Jim Jones.
He's a big fat ass.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
That's true.
For people who never heard the story or are too young to remember, the Jonestown cult was this crazy guy, like so many of the cults, who got people to believe that he was the Messiah, basically, and they followed him and did whatever he wanted, and they all, you know, all the women had to have sex with him, the whole deal. And they were just on the verge of being exposed. There was a congressman who was going over there basically to bring the authorities to take this thing down. And ahead of that, Jim Jones got everybody to, the expression drink the Kool-Aid came from what they did, although it wasn't actually Kool-Aid. I think it was Hawaiian Punch. But they laced it with cyanide and killed 900 and something people. So, I mean, it was really just an unbelievable story that had ever happened. There are few survivors, few people who got out of it, though.
Didn't they kill the congressman, too?
Or shoot him.
Shot him or something?
Yes, shot him up, on the landing strip. So, it was just a tragic story. But, I mean, look, Gandolfini, for, you know, he was a great Tony Soprano, but he's a great actor.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he does with this.
I know we're all getting a little tired of the Britney Spears excuses for her, you know, her lack of entertainment on stage. She couldn't dance and she couldn't lip sync and... She seemed like she was in some kind of... She was a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's saying that, according to Vegas Confidential, that it's... she got very upset backstage because she didn't want to wear the blonde extension. She wanted brown ones.
So that was the least of her problems.
So that threw her into some kind of a wild tailspin, and she couldn't pull out. I mean, come on. Just admit. You know,
you didn't rehearse. And you didn't know what you were doing.
And you were hungover.
And you were hungover.
You allegedly had a Xanax cocktail.
Right.
Okay.
You know what would have been great? I may have mentioned this yesterday. I don't know. Maybe I was just thinking about it. She should have tried to work something up with Justin Timberlake, who's the hottest performer in the world today, was on the show, apparently has a friendly relationship with Madonna, has gone so far as to really support her in the press, to reach out for her, to try to help her. Try to help her. I mean, she should have tried to do something with that performance that involved Justin somehow and follow his lead, use his good sense. And that would have been a real event to have those two back together on stage.
But don't you remember that she had the chance to do a song with him and with Timbaland, and she said no?
Yes.
I mean, that's the dumbest thing she could have ever possibly done.
Yeah.
She perhaps isn't making the best choices of all time ever.
Really?
Ooh, ask a goth.
Oh, I like it.
Omar. Ask her hermaphrodite.
Sav Omar. Same thing, Omar.
Ask a monkey. Come on. Ask a monkey.
How do you ask a monkey?
Speaking of Madonna, one last story, and I love this. I hope it's true. Dotmusic.com reports that Madonna recently went to a show in her homeland of Britain to see Bloc Party, who is a terrific little band. And she went to see the show, enjoyed the show, then went backstage to say hi to the guys. But the bodyguard, according to this report, did not recognize Madonna, put her in a headlock before tossing her out of the dressing room. And as Kevin pointed out earlier, very few bodyguards Madonna couldn't take down with one kick. Let's face it.
She's leathery.
Yes, she is.
She's pretty buff. She's just gristle.
She reportedly could be heard yelling outside, threatening the bodyguard. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine it's true that A bodyguard wouldn't recognize Madonna, and B that Bloc Party wouldn't know if Madonna was coming to their show somehow and make accommodations for her.
Although she's probably used to everyone recognizing her, so she can just not make arrangements and just walk back.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you love to talk to that security guard? He'd go, yeah, that's awesome. I told her I didn't recognize her. I put her in a headlock.
If you're as famous as Madonna, you probably don't even ever need to think about buying tickets to anything. You just show up, and they just let you in.
Yeah.
So, where's the YouTube video of Madonna in a headlock? That's what I want to know. Today's celebrity birthdays from Oasis. Liam Gallagher is 35 years old today. Former American Idol winner Ruben Studdard turns 29. Talk about a guy whose career just flamed out, by the way. Ruben Studdard. Is anyone less in the scene than he is?
Not really.
Star of the OC, Benjamin McKenzie, turns 29 years old today. What's he been up to? Yao Ming, NBA player, 27. Paul Walker from The Fast and the Furious, 34. Friend of the Kevin Bean Show, terrific actor Jason Statham from the Transporter movies and the new War film in theaters now is 35. And run, Jaden James, run. Britney Spears' youngest turns one today. And that's the K-Rock Showbiz. Kevin, before we proceed, do we have an independent, disinterested party with his finger on the button in case we offend anyone?
Always.
Okay, good.
Always.
As long as we do, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to debut our new feature. Here's Ask a Jew. Oh, how about that?
That Omar does good work.
Better theme song than that?
Good work, Omar.
So, Beer Mug, K-Rock intern Beer Mug, Mugsy, we call him here around the station, has joined us in the studio. Apparently, we just found out yesterday as we were planning today's show that he is of the Hebrew faith. Good morning, Beer Mug. How are you, man?
Shalom, Bean. How you doing?
Now, well, shalom to you as well.
Although that song suggests otherwise, we're not here to, you know, reinforce stereotypes or ask questions that are offensive.
Insulting.
Actually, just real questions that you have.
I've come bearing knowledge of the Jewish religion.
Now, let me ask this first question, because your nickname Beer Mug is because you have a tattoo of a beer mug on the top
yes.
On the top of your foot.
Okay. Correct.
Is that accepted by the rabbis?
Definitely not.
They don't like that.
I already have strike one against me.
How about your Jewish mother?
She doesn't like that either. She's
right.
Very upset about that.
Mm. Huh. But you're happy with it.
Yeah, I love it.
There are one thing I noticed about Jewish, and maybe it's because it's they're so visible in Los Angeles, the ones that are Orthodox, is there are a lot of different degrees of Jewishness you can be. You can be casual, you can be hardcore. Where do you fall on the line there?
On the scale.
I fall in about casual as can be.
Casual as can be.
I mean, do you go to temple?
I stopped going to temple about 8 years ago.
And your mom and your
we
rabbi
found the right guy then, didn't
big,
we?
Big fans of that?
My parents are very, very casual as well.
Okay.
We were Reform growing up. I was Reform growing up. I'm the only child. And we just found a religion just to follow as sort of, you know, for to raise me.
Right.
In a sense.
And then now that you're gone, you got the hat with the chick on it.
I got the
naked
hat
chick.
With the chick on it, tattoos all over me,
beer
and
mugs.
I eat pork every day.
All right, we're gonna take some calls at 1-800. Yes,
let me
ahead.
Just ask a question, though. But you know the answers to most of the questions that people will ask, even
I
if
do.
You don't
if,
practice.
It's funny, because all my friends always come to me, who I'm the only Jewish guy out of the group, of my group of friends.
Right.
And they're always asking me, you know, how come, you know, a Jew does this or that? And I'm always, you know, filling them in.
Okay, well, that's
all
what
right.
we need. That's what we need for our listeners. All right.
1-800-520-1067 is the number if you have a question you'd like to ask a Jew. And I'll start with this, because today, it's just by coincidence we have this scheduled, but tonight at sundown is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. And I think a lot of us who are not Jewish are confused by the various Jewish holidays. Like Rosh Hashanah, I don't know that from Yom Kippur. I don't know what the difference is. Is one better or more important?
Well, the Rosh Hashanah is actually the Jewish New Year. And today is the eve of the Jewish New Year. So we say Lashana Tova, which is Happy New Year in Hebrew. It is the year 5768.
It isn't, first of all.
Not in the Common Era.
Okay.
It's 2007 in the Common Era. It's
5768
on the Jewish calendar.
Okay.
So you started counting way before the Christians.
Yes. Okay. Yes, right. Yes, right before the Christians, we started off.
Okay.
And by right before, you mean about 3,000 years.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And,
is there anything you do for Rosh Hashanah? Is there any kind of observance that you're asked as a Jew?
The Jews go to temple. They do services.
Mm-hmm.
They blow the shofar, which it's called. It's a
trying not to be offensive here.
I'm sorry. It's actually a ram's horn. It's the call to the new year.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And
like that candy or that gum or whatever it is.
Yes. And they
What's
actually
that?
Candy corn?
Giant, with that giant scooping thing.
Oh, Ricola.
Thing. Ricola.
sort of. Okay. But that's more of the Swiss origin.
Okay. All right.
And we also eat apples and honey to represent a sweet, to have a sweet New Year.
Okay.
So,
see, this is educational and entertaining.
There
this
you go.
Is exactly the kind of good stuff we were
do
hoping
to
do.
Do you have college football games all day tomorrow like we do on the New Year?
I love college football,
right.
And the Jews also love college football, too.
Okay.
All the Jews I know are big sports fanatics. They all grew up, you know, football, baseball.
I think that's mostly Saturday, though, I think is when we have the
games. College football is Saturday.
Yeah.
We do. Okay. We love the NFL.
Because on our New Year's Day, there's all the bowl games. There's
like five
games you get to watch.
Right.
Gotcha. Parades and all that.
All right. Let's take some calls because we could ask all day. But 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Matt in La Mirada? And maybe he's on line four. Maybe Matt is calling with a stereotype. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But Beer Mug is the guy to ask. Hi, Matt. You're our first caller on Ask a Jew. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
Hi.
Hey, I know it's just, you know, kind of a stereotype, but how come usually all Jews are pretty smart? I mean, is it the upbringing or is it just how they're raised?
Well, it's the upbringing. All the Jewish families are big on education, of course. You have to obviously go to elementary school and then, you know.
Really? They demand elementary school? That is crazy.
That is serious about education.
That is out of your mind.
Are you supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor?
My mother always wanted me to be a lawyer.
Of course.
To be a lawyer. And but it's very, very emphasized that Jewish kids go to college. So that's why they're very successful most of the time.
Yeah. You know,
the doctor, the lawyer. And
okay.
I see, Matt, you're asking why are Jews so good at math?
Yeah.
I'm terrible at math.
But you got a beer mug on your foot, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, a guy drinks that much.
But I guarantee you've got a Jewish accountant. I guarantee that. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go down to line eight. Nikki has got a great question for people who live in Southern California and see this all the time. Nikki, Costa Mesa, hi, you're on the air. Ask a Jew.
Hi. There's a temple near my house in Irvine.
Yeah.
And I always see people walking on Saturday because... I guess because it's the Sabbath, so they're not supposed to work.
No, their cars broke down. You should give them a ride. No? Is that not right?
That's not right.
Not right. Okay.
They walk to temple on Saturdays because they are observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It starts up Friday night at sundown. They light temples, eat dinner.
But why can't they drive to church? I mean,
it's sort of like you can't use any modern amenities, such as electronics or cars.
You can't watch TV.
You can't watch. So I guess college football would be out of the question.
Yeah. Wow.
But you have to walk to temple. No car, no use of the modern car, automobile, anything.
No internet?
No internet, no phones.
Oh, would go crazy.
Dude. No lights, nothing.
But
no
let me go back.
No lights.
Really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course, it's during the day, though, so you wait till the sun goes down on the Saturday, then you can turn the lights on, right?
Correct. Yes, yes.
Okay. But what about, let me ask you this. You can't watch, say, if USC's playing Saturday afternoon, you can't watch that. Is it okay if you TiVo that so you can watch it that night?
As long as
you could set it up the day before.
You set it up the day before. As long as, I guess, you don't turn your television on that day, you wouldn't
then
be breaking
fine.
Any of the rules.
I have some friends who went to Israel, and the elevators there on Saturdays, you're not supposed to push the buttons, so they just program them on Saturdays to just stop at every single floor.
Okay, but wait a minute.
If you're on the 20th floor, you're going to have to ride the elevator, but you're not allowed to push
bogus.
The buttons.
That's what I'm saying. You're not pushing the button. You're getting out of it. That's weak. You need to walk.
Let's do one more call before the break, and that's line two. April is in Monrovia, and then we'll take your calls when we come back to it. 1-800-520-1067. Ask a Jew. Hi, April.
Hi, guys. I'm Lisa May.
Hi, April.
What's your question?
Why is it offensive to shorten the word Jewish to Jew? Why do they get mad when you call them a Jew?
Is that offensive? Are we being offensive by saying ask a Jew?
I personally am not offended, April.
Yeah, but you're not really a Jew.
I think the problem is that people mean it in an offensive way.
I think
often.
That's exactly, Lisa. It's it's more like when they say, hey, Jew.
Yeah.
Or, They're using it in an offensive way.
Are you sure they're not Mexican and just saying you? Hey, Jew. Hey, Jew, over there. No?
No, I don't, usually I'm not.
Okay,
but,
so is the word Jew considered offensive, or is it just the text?
It's what context you use
it in.
Because if a Jewish person could say, all us Jews are going to get together and have dinner, that's
okay.
Fine. But if you say, hey, Jew boy over there, that wouldn't be too cool.
Right. Okay. Well, what about for you? Because, you know.
Yeah, I say... What's up?
Okay. Thank you for the call, April. You're a heck of a Jew. All right. We're going to take... Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's technical.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with some more phone calls. 1-800-520-106. Right now we're doing Ask a Jew, and
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide, grab that nickel, run and hide.
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide, grab a nickel,
as
run
a matter
and
of fact,
hide.
What? As a matter of fact, it's interesting that you should be playing that because we have Paul on the line from Rancho Cucamonga. He is our next caller on Ask a Jew, our new segment here on the Kevin Amici Show. Hey, Paul, you're on with K-Rock intern Beer Mug. Go ahead.
Morning, party people.
Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing, Lisa?
Good.
What's your question?
I used to live with a Jewish fella, and this man was a pack rat. I mean, everything from old magazines to his receipts from, like, McDonald's. No
right, right.
joke.
Is that a normal Jewish thing, or is it just a certain amount of the community is
It's actually,
pack rats?
It's sort of normal, and I'll tell you why. The Jews have been fleeing everywhere since history began. It's in case, I think, another Exodus comes.
Really?
I mean,
are you guessing at that? Because it seems a bit.
They do save a lot. There's this lady that lives actually down the street from me, and her garage is filled to the brim with boxes.
Yeah. Right, but my question is, there a lot of other people that also have that problem where they save
much
stuff?
I think they're very momentous people, so they like to save, you know, from the past. And
I got you.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of stuff they want to keep track
of.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Exodus.
Thank you for the call, Paul. Hey, I have a question. Maybe you can explain this to me, and I really don't understand. How does the blessing from a rabbi to make food kosher work? How do they decide what stuff is kosher and what isn't, and why does it make a difference?
It's all the preparation of the food, actually, I've learned. For instance, if it's meat or bread, it's supervised by a official rabbi to see how it's prepared to make sure it's separated from certain other foods, certain other ingredients, such as you can't mix your milk and your meat because that's not considered kosher.
How the animal slaughtered, too.
How the animal slaughtered, what parts of the animal you could eat is all considered of what makes something kosher or not.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Interesting.
Let's go with Karen because this is a fascinating thing. I've seen this. Karen in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi. Morning. Morning, Kevin Bean. Lisa.
Hello.
Beer Mug.
Jew.
Hey, Karen. It's all good.
Hi. I actually had a question. I wanted to know, is it true that the rabbis circumcise the males when they're babies?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I had a circumcision, but not by a rabbi.
Last week.
It was by
in Vegas.
It was by a Jewish doctor. It's actually right when you're born. It's for, you know, sanitary reasons. You could have the technical term for the rabbi who does this is called a moil. And he actually, they have a bris, what's called a bris.
I've gone to those. I have Jewish friends. I've gone to a bris. They have a party.
Yeah,
and everybody stands around and watches this poor kid get cut.
Yeah.
And they all chant, penis, 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 penis.
No, but it just seems like a cruel party, you know? Like everybody gathers. They're all there. They all watch it.
And they all drink wine after.
Yeah.
But the beer mug, here's what I don't understand. Most people in most religions are circumcised. What is the particular significance in the Jewish faith that makes it a party?
Wow. Bean, you got me there, actually. All I know is it's just a religious... I think it's a rite of passage of the baby's birth after conception.
And it's like everyone does it, so they all kind of gather and they celebrate. It's like a momentous occasion.
It's a momentous occasion, just like such as a bar mitzvah or, you know, a wedding. It's the time in the baby's life where it's celebrated.
Where it's okay to laugh and point when he's getting cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to feel ripped off, by the way, if you've got a lot of Jewish friends that turn 13 and have the bar mitzvah. And you're 13 and, you know, you get a bike, that's cool. But you don't exactly get, like, the bar mitzvah gifts. You know what I mean? It's got to be way better to be Jewish right around that age.
Tons of goodies and cash, too.
Will and Placentia, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, I had a quick question. I was with my friend. I was helping him move, and I was looking at old pictures of him, like, since he was young up to now. And now everything's changed about him except his hair. He has that Jufro thing going on. I
mean, oh, yeah.
Do they ever want to flat iron it out? Or
why don't you have a Jufro, beer mug?
Actually, Kevin, I used to rock a Jufro in high school.
Please grow it now.
I have naturally curly hair, so as do a lot of Jews.
Oh, you're so lucky.
And as it grows, it doesn't grow down like the normal, you know, white man's hair would.
Right.
But it grows out and up since it's so curly and
you're
thick.
So lucky. I would give anything to have a fro. Awesome.
Hey, let's take Dave. He's in Santa Ana on line 6, 1-800-520-1067. Ask a Jew is on the air with K-Rock intern Beer Mug. Dave, what's your question?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, you know, just
question. I'm not sure about this, but I was wondering, is there any truth to the fact that the Jews are taking over the world?
Well,
what about all
Well, look at all those Jewish presidents. Apparently it's working real well. Yeah.
What about all the conspiracies about, especially about 9/11 and all that stuff about how Jewish people stayed home and all this stuff?
Wow.
What about all that? Where does that come from?
I have no. If there is a conspiracy that Jews are taking over the world, I have not been filled in on it.
No, I mean, there's a lot of like rumors that behind the scenes people are pulling the strings and all that BS.
It seems like history shows the Jewish people as being the fall guys or the scapegoats and a lot of things. I think it's just necessarily like, I don't know, whatever it might be. Like, I don't know, the Jews own Hollywood or this, that, and the next thing.
Stuff.
It's just they seem, I think it's, they're so successful in a way, but I don't.
Sure. I mean, throughout history, they've been educated. In Nazi Germany, one of the big things was they were in banking, and they started this whole national program against them.
And I think a lot of that comes from people who dislike Jewish people.
Yeah, I think
they say they're this way and they're that way. I mean, there's I think Jewish people, more than any other group, there is real problems with hatred in the world. I mean, especially from, the Muslim community. There are a lot of people who,
in the Middle
Iran,
East,
for example, talks about destroying Israel on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah. It's like you said, Kevin, it's just a lot of animosity. And you could blame it on any race or any religion for something that happened in history. And it's just
it's a fall guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why did the Jews allow that Britney Spears thing to happen at the VMAs?
Sorry about that one.
That's actually the Jew taking over the world conspiracy is based in the Protocols of Zion, which were writings in the early 19th century, and they're still pretty pervasive and taught as fact in parts of the Muslim world. It's just an indoctrination writing that was based in Eastern Bloc Europe, and it's been passed along through.
This isn't Ask a Roid Head, all right? Let our guest talk.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're out of time anyway. Obviously, there are many, many more questions on hold. We're not going to have time to get to on many that we have ourselves. But all that means is there's got to be a sequel. There's got to be Ask a Jew Part 2. I think you're going to have to come back another time.
I would love to. You guys. Thanks
to have
an
expert as good as Beer Mug answering these questions.
Yeah, he did a great job.
God's name is Beer Mug.
I have much more information to give out to the masses.
We're going to clear the lines. We're going to do Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew coming up next. And thank you for joining us on Ask a Jew. If you're just tuning in, the White Stripes tour got canceled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Meg apparently is having some problems with anxiety. That's what we're being told. And they had to cancel not only next week's show at the LA Forum, but pretty much the whole U.S. tour.
Doesn't that contribute to your anxiety if now you have a canceled concert tour?
I don't know the answer to that.
It seems to me like now you have a lot more things to worry about. I question the logic in that.
9:44, time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
Here's the deal. Call on any topic except questions for Jews. He's gone. 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize. It's a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Good Luck, Chuck. It stars Jessica Alba.
Yay!
And Dane Cook. That's in theaters on September the 21st. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got some good calls today.
See, for me, Jessica Alba trumps Dane Cook. But then I don't dislike him as much as you guys.
Yeah, so it's very close for me. I mean, Jessica Alba, I got to be honest, trumps TB for me. I mean, I'd really do anything for her, so I'd probably let him.
Maybe he's a better actor than a comedian.
I don't find him objectionable as much as you guys do.
Okay.
All right. Kate in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. What'd it do?
I was in New York last week, and I was at a club and got approached by a guy wearing a full leather outfit, leather shirt, leather pants, about 10 wristbands, mascara, and leopard shoes.
Wow.
And I started talking to him. He was just hitting on me, talking to me about the weirdest stuff that nobody cares about his friend at a hospital, and I was just couldn't find any way to get away from him. Mm-hmm. After I was done, my friend runs up to me. She's like, hey, you know who that was? I was like, no, because I don't have cable or anything. And she's like, you just got hit on by mystery. He's this guy. He has a TV show.
Oh, where... not the pickup artist.
Yeah, the pickup artist.
Yay! Oh, my God. That's show... he's supposed to be the dude.
Lisa, that is the opposite of what he is.
Oh, my God. He's a total douchebag. He's a total joke.
The pickup artist. So he came up to you. He's supposedly the expert on that show and is teaching everybody how to hit on women.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the guys he's teaching. They're never going to get laid.
Wow.
Oh, how sad.
That's too bad. I like that you didn't know who it was, so you weren't judging him that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
Oh,
I, just,
that's
I knew
awesome.
He looked ridiculous.
Mystery.
But, yeah.
That's
no
a great story, Kate. Thank you very much for calling me that. And by the way, I don't care what kind of game he has. If you're going to dress like that and look like that, you're not getting anywhere, even with the best personality in the world. Are you, Lisa?
No. I mean, God, no.
Yeah.
That's such a turnoff.
All right. Let's say good morning to Mike, who is calling from Santa Monica. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what'd it do, everybody?
What'd it do, Mike?
Hey, so I went down to the what used to be the Museum of Television and Radio this weekend to go see the new pilots for the season.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to give you guys a couple heads up because I went and saw the shows for NBC and La Croix.
Mm-hmm. It's not the Croix.
It is the Croix. He's right on.
For God's sakes, it's not the Croix.
That's what they hipsters
just for being, they put us, yeah. They put us in a room with dog loos and we watched
the Croix. Nice.
Thank you, Mike.
And?
See, Mike's got my back.
He's mocking
me. But anyways, the Bionic Woman show is amazing.
Is it good?
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like when Alias first started. Gives you that whole feel, and it's got that really dark feel of Heroes.
Excellent.
So I'm in, and there was a show on the CW called The Reaper that Kevin Smith directed the first episode. And it was
now, let me
really
tell you something
good.
About The Reaper. Jeez. I'm glad to hear you say that, Mike, because that is the best reviewed of all the new fall shows in terms of the ones they say are most likely to really, really hit it big.
No kidding.
I knew nothing about it when I walked in there, and it was really good. And the big surprise for me was the show Chuck.
Chuck? Because
at the trailers, it looks like it's crappy, but it was really good.
What is that one?
It's the one where the dude works at a Best Buy type store, and he sees all the government's secrets.
Yeah, he's like a secret agent, right?
Yeah.
Somehow it gets downloaded into his brain, all the government secrets and stuff.
Oh, that sounds good.
He becomes a spy, right?
Listen to Mike.
But it's well done,
huh? Nick G and Jason Schwartz from the OC. They're the producers and stuff on it.
Very cool.
That
sounds
good.
Mike.
I saw a TV show called K-ville, which I think comes on Monday night.
Oh, I recorded
that.
Really
good.
Or I'm recording it when it comes on.
I liked it a
lot. You liked it?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm so excited. Their new show's coming on. That's great.
Me too. Let's go to Mikey in Buena Park. By the way, I'm losing my battle to take my laptop with me to Italy on vacation so that I can watch TV while we're gone.
Yeah.
My wife is not having any of it. And I'm like, I can't be away for a week and not watch TV. She's like, we're going to be in Italy. You're not going to be watching TV.
Bean is so dependent on TV and on the internet that he really will go crazy without
both. Italy is a romantic place. Why don't you just think about maybe, I don't know, having some sex in the evening?
Oh, don't be
crazy. It's not as cool as TV, Lisa. That's why.
Your poor wife.
Mikey in Buena Park.
What it do, nephew?
Hi, Mikey.
Yeah, I'm calling about Bill Belichick, man. I'm so surprised at what's going on there, man.
I don't know what's going on. He's the head coach of the Patriots, right?
Yeah, but they said that they caught somebody on the sideline, exactly, with videotaping the games, and I don't know what that's all about.
What do you mean? Okay. Trying to steal the other coach's calls or something?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The NFL is investigating. They are taking it seriously. I don't have all the details at my fingertips, but the synopsis of it is, they found a guy with a video camera on the sidelines with the Patriots. And, of course, you're not allowed to have any kind of recording devices down there, and they think that's exactly what he was doing. And, by the way, the Patriots just – who were they playing? Do you remember, Mikey?
They're playing the New York Jets.
Jets,
ironically,
and blew them out.
Coached by former Patriots employee Belichick's former prodigy, Mangini, who they've been calling Manginius, and it was going to be this big rivalry between the two. And looks like it, actually Roger Goodell has come out, the NFL commissioner has come out and said it is official. They were caught and they will be they will be punished.
And the guy with the video camera apparently had a history of this, had done it one time before and has been previously penalized, maybe at another level too. So it looks serious. And what are they going to do, Mike, if it turns out that he was in fact cheating? Do they take the victory away, or what do they do?
Originally, they've said that it will guarantee that they will be taking away draft picks and things like that. It'll affect them in the draft in the future. But they're going to now further investigate this and see if they might have even more intense punishment, you know, maybe even, like you said, forfeit, which has never happened in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. How about that?
That's unbelievable.
All right. Boy, we got some good calls here. Why don't we talk to Marissa in Whittier is on line 7. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hi, Marissa. What do you got for us?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
My question is, why do you think Costco shoppers get crazy and act like it's the end of the world?
You must work at Costco.
Well, I work at Costco, and people get really, really upset, and they fight in the store over products.
I don't know why, because I know that, like, I was at Costco yesterday, for instance, and you have to be mentally prepared in order to go into Costco because we all know how crowded it is. But it's not like going someplace where there's a super sale on and there's only five copies of something that you're trying to buy.
Right, there's pallets full of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Costco almost never runs out of anything, no matter how good the deal is. They have a million of them, so what is there to fight over? I don't get what that's about, Marissa.
Well, you must have missed the coupons, but right now we're having coupons, and they're only good for 2 weeks. So we have been selling out of quite a few products.
Wow.
And yesterday we had a fight over just like the silliest thing, a hair dryer.
I heard about that. Tommy Lee and Kid Rock were in a Costco.
I don't think, I don't think you got that
right. This hair dryer's bananas.
Hey, Marissa, how come you have to be a member to shop at Costco? Why? And what, they make it really easy to be a member, but why can't anyone just walk in the door?
Well, if I told you, a secret would be let out, and that would be in a lot of trouble.
The secret is they charge you for being a member.
Yeah.
They charge you like $50 a year.
That's a good question, because Marissa does own Costco, and she sets the policy.
Well, she works there.
Good point, Kevin. I'm going to pretend she does, and she does speak for the entire company. F you, Marissa, and F Costco.
Why? What's wrong?
I went to Costco the other day, and I'm not a member. My wife is. It was my first time there.
Mm-hmm.
And a customer...
Pick it up, Mike. Pick it up.
Thought I worked there and demanded that I carry her cart back to her car. God damn them racists, because a brown man is walking around a warehouse store. I have to be working there.
What did she say exactly?
Well, she didn't speak English, so F her double. She rolled her cart into me, and I turned around and said, "Excuse me, miss." And she went, "No, goodbye, no, no," and pointed to me like, "Come get."
In
and
the
I'm
car?
Like, And the lady behind me is like, she thinks you work here, doesn't she? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, come on, carry it.
Oh, you should have taken it and just run away. Just run with the cart, like, away from her car.
Should have tipped it over.
That would have been awesome.
Well. All right, thank you for the call, Marissa. Do we have time for one more, or are we done?
It depends on who it is.
I like Rin in Huntington Beach.
All right. That's a good one. Just don't want to talk to Brandon in Calabasas. Rin, hi.
Hello?
Hi, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, I have a great story.
Okay.
A really old story. It happened last year.
Okay.
But
way to sell it, by the way. That's a good advice for all the listeners. If you're going to start off, promise that it's great, so our expectations are high, and then make sure that we know it's an old story.
Exciting story. All right, go ahead.
I ran myself over with my own car.
Okay, now that's how you tell a story.
That's how you start right there.
How do you run yourself over with your own car? What are you, ghost riding the whip? What are you doing?
Well, I was driving up the street.
Yeah.
Just trying to get to work, and I run out of gas. So I'm like, dang. So I pull over, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'll just push my car. So I start pushing it, and I'm like, why isn't this working so well? And I start rolling backwards.
Ooh.
Turns out cars
are
heavy.
Like, slight incline on the way into the parking lot totally set me back and dragged me under my door.
Oh, no!
And because my steering wheel was turned... back into traffic.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Did your car hit anyone?
No.
Just
because, just me.
Mm-hmm.
The street was kind of empty when I had done that, but traffic was coming. I had a little bit of time.
Wow.
Your
car hates
crying.
You.
Dude, this would happen to me.
Your car so hates
totally
you.
I totally see this happening to me.
I think my car loves me. She treats me well.
Sure, yeah. Sounds like it.
She does.
Dragging you into traffic.
I'm just hanging on for dear life to my door, trying not to get too ran into the pavement.
Sure.
And
you're thinking to yourself, I don't know when this is going to end, but I can guarantee you it's going to be bad.
Yes.
Yes. But it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
Down
I know.
The street, a little old lady in a bright pink shirt was walking.
Mm-hmm.
So she just decided to help me.
And you killed
out.
Her?
She jumped into traffic, actually, and waved the other cars away.
How nice.
Wow, that's good.
Then found four big strapping men to help me get my car out.
Stop it. She's telling a good story.
I can't take it
that's
anymore.
That's a good
sorry.
Story.
I lost the thread of this one about 20 minutes
over.
Ago. I know. And that's where the story peaked, was right there. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on for your prize.
Captain
and
Fun
I want to thank
his finger on the button.
I want to thank our pal, the Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly, the next president of the United States. We did an exclusive interview with the candidate earlier today. And if you did not get the website address where you can go to support them,
www.voicesfromspirit.com/V21N5/links.htm.
All right. So now you're all set. Now you can join and get in on the campaign.
Tomorrow we're going to call a foreign country, which always goes well. We're going to call Ulyanovsky.
Where's that?
Am I saying that right? Ulyanovsk.
I have no idea, but it's in Russia. That's all you need to know. Yeah. And again this year, for the third or fourth year in a row, they had National Conception Day, where people are given time off from work in order to try to start a baby because they're losing population so fast in Russia right now. Their tax base is shrinking. You know, they die very young in Russia. A lot of alcoholism, a lot of AIDS, a lot of suicides. I mean, they're losing population fast. And this is their way to fight back, is to encourage people. They're offering gifts. I mean, they have a drawing for people who have babies born on certain days to win new houses and cars.
Well, that's great. But how about, I don't know, some program to get people to stop drinking and condoms.
Getting AIDS and
committing
suicide.
Like that. Yeah. How about that?
Well, we're going to call over there tomorrow and find out how it goes, because it ought to be, let's face it, the happiest day of the year today. So
you
I want to follow up tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're going to follow up on that. We have tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion on Saturday. And speaking of which, one of the performers is going to be Kid Rock. And we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning, his first post-fight interview.
Ugh, can't wait.
Talk to him about the Tommy Lee thing. Talk to him about his tour, new CD, show on Saturday, a whole bunch of stuff tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And how much you like that Borat movie. Plus, ask a gynecologist, I think, tomorrow morning on the Kevin Beach Show, too. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. The Pretender is new music from Foo Fighters. That'll be included. Also, Muse, Flyleafs All Around Me, Linkin Park, Smashing Pumpkins, and more right after this on K-Rock.